and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and we stopped watching Captain Lou Albano on YouTube in order to come over here and drink beer and talk wrestling with you.
To bring you this show, yes, we did.
We'll go back to watching Captain Lou and drinking beer after.
And George the Animal Steel.
Yeah.
Captain Louis Albano.
Tremendous.
He is. One of a kind.
Unbelievable. So we'll be going back to that, but we are here to talk wrestling, drink some beer, and have some fun, so let's get right to it. What's your topic?
Well, the name of the show, we should start off, we'll start off with the hot topic. I mean, the name of the show is We Talk Wrestling, but last night, long day at work, I was sitting on the couch, I didn't want to do anything, and I thought, you know what, there's a UFC on, I'm going to order UFC The Heavyweights, and I was kind of texting you during the show.
Yep.
Because you were out, and at one point, I'm just getting ready to watch the main event, and who should be at ringside but Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, I thought you were screwing with me when you sent me that text.
I know.
I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's got a front row seat for it.
I thought you were just screwing around.
I know.
It's you.
It's me? Captain Serious? Come on now. Yahoo Serious, as it were.
He's there. Nobody knows quite why. A lot of rumors are swirling around. That's what they want.
I did watch the on UFC.com. I watched the post fight, the post show press conference.
Okay.
Just because I knew there was going to be a question. I figured it wouldn't be by Dave Meltzer because Dana White pulled a Hulk Hogan circa 95 and burned the Observer. But
for something he didn't say.
No, that's right. For the opposite, actually, of what he said. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right. I'm a little sick of Dana White's bullshit at this point, personally. But
anyway, someone did ask about it, and Dana White got the shit-eating grin that was reminiscent of Beyond the Mat. We make movies, pal.
Yeah.
Same grin on his face. And, he just said that him and Brock were going to talk after the press conference and that, that he's not adverse to having, basically what he said is that people know what's a work and what's real.
Yeah.
And so he's saying that he's not adverse to Brock working in the WWE and UFC at the same time.
Well, he looks at it and he goes, okay, this guy can do 1.2 million buys. And most of my roster can do, if well promoted, on a hot match 600, and many of them are doing now 300.
Yeah.
I think that's when last night probably I'm guessing about 400,000 buys. So hell yeah, he's not a stupid businessman. I mean, Dana White may be stupid in some ways in that he doesn't check things around; he just opens his mouth and talks.
Right.
But he's not a stupid businessman when it comes to knowing how to promote, and he knows that Brock is worth money.
And yeah, exactly. And I mean, the other thing that kind of comes into play with this is that, and again, this is We Talk Wrestling. I don't want to get into too much of it, but,
related here.
There's someone here that...
And it always is, and we're always not talking MMA, unlike most other shows. I mean, it's always related.
There's someone that's got the stupidest name probably in the world that was the first thing to come to mind, and that was King Mo. And that's, I mean, Bjorn...
King is a stupid name.
Yeah, yeah. But Bjorn Rebney has shown that and Spike is that they're willing to kind of go after this, UFC, and to take Lesnar if he was available. I think that's more what Dane is thinking. I mean, it's the same, they're on guard now with Bellator in that where they would just cut guys and say, fuck you. They're not now. They're not cutting guys that they perceive, like a Dan Hardy, who at least won last night, but is perceived, guys that are perceived to have some name talent and to be stars will go to Bellator because they'll sign them, and they're not doing that.
No, they would never
that,
cut
right?
Jason Mayhem Miller.
That hasn't come out yet.
There's a certain douchebag level that they'll cut anybody at.
But regardless here, that's the thing, is that King Mo come to mind is that he's going to do TNA and Bellator, so Brock Lesnar, if he's able to do this, that it would be on a much grander scale. Essentially, WWE and UFC will have just basically said fuck you to Bellator and TNA. They've one-upped them, essentially, by taking a bigger star on a bigger stage and doing it better because Lesnar already knows how to work, where Moe's
doing
got to
better than TNA.
Hmm? I know, something better than TNA that's odd. It's
yeah.
an odd statement.
Yeah. No, it's true. This is a very, I don't know, it really comes down to, I guess, what is Lesnar's contract with WWE? I mean, there's a lot of speculation, of course. Hey, he's trying to, and Heyman, everybody feels that everything Lesnar does, Heyman has some part in. So, I mean, that's his friend, right? But what's the exclusivity of his contract with WWE? Did it allow him, say, dates in Japan? And if it allowed him, say, dates in Japan, then does that mean he can do a UFC date in Brazil, for instance?
Right.
Throwing it out there.
Well, that would be Geisha Girls, right?
Yeah.
Dates in Japan.
Yeah.
But I think that, Vince isn't going to like it.
No.
You know, that's to me.
No matter what, Vince, I'm sure Vince was pissed off today. Though Vince is, I think, okay, well, we'll get there. But I think he'd be making a mistake if he doesn't like it.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, Vince lost touch around 1993. He got it back, thanks in large part, I will say, to Vince Russo, was able to be steered back on track and open his eyes and shown the world again.
Yeah.
And then around, ironically, 10 years later, about 2003, had those eyes closed again.
Yeah.
And hasn't opened them up. So he has no idea what's going on, and he has no idea how to work a world of 2012 with this sort of angle.
Here's the thing. This is something that can make WWE money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he doesn't know how to use it to make it money.
That's right.
Instead of him sitting there going, "This is something that can make me money," he's sitting there going, "Something. This is something that hurts my brand."
Yes.
He's not understanding. Brock Lesnar is not perceived as a WWE guy, anyways.
It
would be a horrible idea for them to say everybody working in WWE can also work in UFC.
It's a terrible
idea to make a John Cena if he was capable, have him or Jack Swagger even.
Swagger, okay.
Okay, even they're perceived as WWE guys. So it's a terrible idea to have them go over to UFC and do whatever. That's not a good idea. Well, it gives them exposure, but it is because there's a precedent here. But Brock Lesnar is somebody who is not perceived as a WWE guy. He was when he went over to UFC, but he's not anymore.
No.
He's not perceived as somebody who is going to be there long term already. So if he isn't somebody who's a WWE guy already, if he's not there long term already, then whatever you could do to create more buzz around him, so when he does the job to Triple H, so when he does the job to John Cena, whatever you can do to create more buzz around him for those so that the pay-per-view buys are high, it's okay. It's okay with this one character in this one situation.
Yes. And that's the thing, is that this isn't something that, you know, like you said, John Cena or The Miz or Michael McGillicuddy are going to go over and do in UFC. This is unique to Brock Lesnar. And this is a Brock Lesnar-only situation here. You've got kind of, I don't want to say a once in a lifetime, but you've got kind of lightning in a bottle. Now, that said, part of this is, WWE can't control this because it's UFC. So, not even that it's UFC, it's that you can't control the outcome. So Lesnar could go in there and get killed again and look like a fool. And that's Vince, though. That's the Vince mentality. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it's just that.
But, okay, we say that, but, okay. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right to a degree, but you're wrong to a degree, too. If he goes in there against Cain Velasquez, he's going to get killed. If he goes in against Frank Mir, I think he has a fucking good chance to win, and that doesn't hurt him in WWE.
You got two there. What I see is I see two matches for Brock Lesnar in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Mir, as you said, the rubber match.
Yeah.
And Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
You know.
And those are both matches he can win.
And those are conceivably matches he could win. I even see Roy Nelson being put on a Fox special.
Sure. And you know what else? I also see Roy Nelson as somebody who is possibly not in UFC 2 years from now and would be great in WWE for a rematch that would make money.
Well, that's yes. But again,
it makes a lot of sense on a lot of factors here.
It really does. And as I said, part of it, again, when I put in the conspiracy theory hat on. WWE has mentioned UFC quite extensively. You know, really
look at the way Brock. Look what Brock was wearing when he came to the ring first against
Cena. Exactly. Yeah, that was it. But and even since then, though, I mean, UFC when he's talking, Hunter's doing it, Heyman's doing it. I mean, so not just Cena and Brock. So they've mentioned the letters UFC quite extensively and. To the point, perhaps, again...
This isn't Ken Shamrock from the Ultimate Fighting world. This is Brock Lesnar from the UFC.
No, well, but Ken Shamrock from the Ultimate Fighting world was a UFC champion to the point where
they
showed footage.
Okay, they did show footage, but they didn't use the words UFC. They used the words Ultimate Fighting World.
They did. That's very true. And, but Dan Severn brought on all his fucking titles at one point, too. But
NWA title and shit like that, but, yeah.
Well, and all his other belts
all
that
his
he
belts.
Had,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, I mean, who knows? Again, this is really sort of a... We'll be talking more about this, obviously, in the coming weeks.
Because we'll know more.
Well, that's what I mean. No, this is going to be...
Yeah.
A story right now, what we know is that he was there. You know, Dana's going to talk to him. Dana's kind of raised the eyebrows. Again, no WWE reaction that we know of yet at this point. So, and again, with Monday Night Raw on tomorrow, we'll get a better idea maybe of how this happens, if at all.
Well, the thing is, they already weren't, though. Heyman wasn't on last week.
That's right.
I didn't expect Heyman to be on tomorrow. They're not necessarily promoting Brock and Triple H for the next event. So it doesn't really play into their plans anyway.
No, that's
the
right.
Only thing is if they really bury the shit out of him, then we know what their reaction is.
Well,
if they ignore it, then we don't know.
And I mean, the other thing with it is I mean, again, if you're going to do a match, I mean, what it does is it puts these matches, you know, say against Hunter. You know, when Hunter beats him, it's going to be even worse because it's a situation where now they're taking a guy that's actively in the UFC and jobbing him to Hunter for Triple Ego is basically
yeah.
what it is, right?
Yeah.
And that's even
the
worse.
The smart move would be to still do the same way, to go about and have him beat Roy Nelson, ideally, though that's a bit iffy. Frank Mir is, I think, a little bit, whatever the hell, I think it's a little bit less iffy. I think he would beat Mir in a rematch.
Yeah.
He does look healthier than when we last saw him against... Overeem in UFC, so...
Who?
Brock.
Oh, Brock, yes.
Brock does. I think if he was to go over there, win those two, and still beat Hunter, but then lose that money match against whoever you want at WrestleMania,
yes.
That's still the way to go about it.
It is. That's very true. Again, but that's your X factor.
But again, how closely... Like, he's only got so many dates and whatever... But how closely will they work with UFC? Will UFC say, we want him on this pay-per-view, so don't schedule him around this time? And will WWE say, okay, that's fine. We'll use him here. We'll use him here. Let's work together. Or will WWE say, no, fuck you. We had plans for him here.
Okay, well, let's get there because there could be...
Because we know Bellator and TNA will be working like that together.
No, but there could be a contract. Well, Bellator's going to be a little different because there's a tournament there. So you've got to fight for this tournament. So there'll be a tournament time. And basically the rest, most of the rest of the time, will be with TNA.
But, you
so
know,
they're scheduled to work
around. Yeah, exactly.
But
they are willing to work together.
But
right?
Let's talk about the contract.
Yeah.
Then if they are willing to work together, and that's what it is that UFC shoulders some of his WWE contract, because if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm looking at the Extreme Rules doing 251,000 buys,
which is awesome for a big show for them.
It's under the Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Money in the Bank.
All right.
It's
still awesome for a B-show for them.
That's relative. I mean, I was talking to someone on the F4W board, I mean, that was talking about Kurt Angle had, you know, drew for TNA, and I said, well, 60,000 buys is drawing for TNA, but that's not drawing.
Yeah.
So 251,000 buys, you know, are they getting the return on their investment?
Well, I think what we've seen is that... Without any question, the people that watch Brock in UFC are probably not willing to pay to watch him in WWE. People who are fans of both, or people that are fans of just WWE, would pay to see him more so than, say, pay to see John and Laurinaitis, obviously, but or you know something like that. But obviously, yeah, or The Miz versus Cena in last year's follow-up to WrestleMania.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, but people aren't coming over from USC to WWE if that was their hope. That doesn't appear to be the case.
I just think that it was gonna. They were trying to garner some sort of interest, and it's not. I mean, and when you look at it's 147,000. In North America and 104 on the worldwide. So it's about their regular mix.
Yeah, but again, we talk about this. Like I say, that's good for a B show. But say they put up, Cena comes out, is cutting a promo on The Rock, Lesnar comes out, gives him the F5, just like they did.
Mm-hmm.
Then they work on building that match and negotiating it until SummerSlam. You don't think SummerSlam does 500,000?
Oh, I mean... Yeah, I mean that's. I mean, there were a lot of factors in this 251,000 buys. I'm just, it is a situation where more people than normal wanted to see it again, like Money in the Bank. There was more interest in it than normal, but it just doesn't translate into, I guess,
his name doesn't turn around and mean a million buys all by itself. No, there has to still be some good fucking promotion there.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the case. Well, I mean, look at him on Ultimate Fighter. Last season of Tough, when he was the coach, the ratings were going down, and everybody thought they'd be great, and they weren't.
They weren't, no.
Right?
Exactly. So,
like,
I mean...
The name alone is not enough. But the name alone, built properly, people will be interested in, will pay for.
Well, and they have. I mean, UFC's proven that, right?
Yeah.
And as I said...
WWE could have proven that if they'd done this right and built it up to a big event.
Right. Well, and that's just it, and you're talking about,
Same thing with look at The Rock. The Rock's name by himself obviously doesn't mean that much, because look at Survivor Series. On the other hand, The Rock built up against the right guy at the right event meant a lot.
Well,
but not the biggest pay-per-view buy in history,
but The Rock, again, The Rock is a huge movie star, right?
But the point is, though, that he didn't mean that much just by his name in Survivor Series.
But
he meant a lot built up properly.
No, and I mean, but you're talking about Brock. I mean, can he go? Can he work with UFC now? Can he do? Maybe that is one of the stipulations that it's outside of North America. Maybe it is one of their shows.
It depends on the contract, really. Because I can't picture WWE sitting there going by himself. And I bet you it's outside of North America would be if there's a clause.
That's it. And if they do the show, let's say UFC does a show in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Then Brock Lesnar can fight down there. Can be seconded to the ring, to the octagon, by Chris Jericho.
There you go.
Wait. Maybe not.
Maybe not in Brazil.
Maybe
not
by
Hunter?
Brazil. Oh, yeah.
Hunter can hold up his arms and his belt.
That's right. He could hold up with the sling. That doesn't hurt that much.
No,
it's been worse.
I mean, it hurt worse.
But Chris Jericho had a match with CM Punk.
I'm not done talking about this Brock thing.
Are you not?
No. If we're talking about this, I just want to say...
Well, you are.
If we're talking about... The idea is that... Its exclusivity is in North America. I'm sure, or maybe even North America and Europe, but probably North America. I'm sure WWE is sitting there going, well, if he goes to Japan and does a job or beats somebody, nobody's ever going to see it. I'm sure it wasn't on their radar. Hey, he could go to UFC and do a fight in Brazil. I'm sure that this is... It could... I mean, we'll see what it is. We'll see if there's lawsuits. We'll see...
You know what? The standard...
There is speculation that Brock is doing this to get out of his WWF contract... Or WWE contract, especially now that he has proven to UFC that he has other options. But then again, he is being paid a shitload by the WWE. So
you know what the thing is?
He'd make a shitload in the UFC too.
That's all he's looking at doing is that he's Brock's is sort of marches to the beat of his own drum, as it were. And again, at this point, I think
this has Heyman's fingers all over it, though.
What does?
And manipulation and. Branding and everything.
Everything at this point is speculation. I'd rather wait, a week or two. I think, obviously things are going to come out, and we'll be able to get a better idea of what actually is going to happen.
Jordan's
going to
be on the show?
Exactly. Because the thing is, with right now...
Things are going to come out.
Woo! But I think that right now, I mean, all we know is Brock has been there. Brock and Dana were going to meet. Dana's not adverse to it. We don't know what his WWE contract is, what it states, what it does. The standard contract, I mean, fucking Hunter's contract when he signed his performance deal, the print states that he can't go work for any other professional wrestling or mixed martial arts company while under contract. That's a standard clause there that I'm sure Brock Lesnar has.
I'm not sure Brock would have some unique
situation.
I don't think. I think, again, they,
it's likely he doesn't
have it. It's called
a
standard clause for a reason.
No, I know. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's likely it's there. But I wouldn't say it's impossible it's not. There's some unique negotiation that went on with bringing Brock Lesnar back.
Yeah, well, of course. And it might have, but I mean, I'm just, you know, when you say that, though,
I agree with you, it's probably there. I'm just saying.
I would be leaning, I mean, I agree with you, it's possible. It is possible.
Yeah.
But especially if I look at this logically, and I'm signing an ex-UFC fighter who's just come out of the UFC 5 months ago or 4 months ago,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, really 3 whole months ago, January, February, March,
mm-hmm.
That fucking clause is going to be in there. Because if he gets that itch to go back, I want to, you know, and he's under contract to me. So, whereas, if I'm Hunter, and that clause is in there, maybe that's the guy I don't have the clause in, because, yeah, okay, well, Hunter's not going to go into, well, Hunter can go into mixed martial arts. Okay.
Well, Hunter can go to TNA and be just another guy.
That's true.
No, I know.
I'm just saying we don't know everything.
You don't know Brock Lesnar.
You think you know Brock Lesnar? You don't know Brock Lesnar.
All right, let's move on. You had another subject you're trying to get.
Well, we're talking about Jericho in Brazil.
It's a work.
It's a work, you think?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
How?
It's a work.
What's a work?
It's a work. He wanted some time off, go tour and shit.
So he broke the law in Brazil?
It's the law in Brazil?
Yeah, it's the law.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Yeah? To stomp on the flag is the law?
Yes.
Is it the law in the States to burn the flag?
I don't think so, no. I think that's been argued for free speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stomping on flags in every country in the entire world has been part of wrestling since the 1930s.
Uh-huh. In that country, though?
In every country.
Remember when...
standard wrestling heel heat.
The closest thing...
And,
well,
he would know it would be against the law, unless... Or he would know if it's a work.
No,
I'm not saying that it's against the law is not a work. I'm saying him knowing that it would be against the law and they could suspend him off it is the work.
I don't think so. I think you're giving Chris Jericho too much credit.
I don't. Chris, this is right up. This is the exact type of thing Jericho knows and does and uses.
Nice.
It's a work.
Yeah,
it's a work from his and WWE stand.
Whether it is or not, what does it matter then, I guess?
Hey, what does it matter? Who gives a shit? Stomp on their flag.
Well, that was going to be my question, this whole situation and suspending, does it warrant a 30-day suspension, I guess,
no.
is my
question.
Of course
not. It's standard heel heat. Well, that's why they did it, because, or maybe it's political pressure, or more likely, they did it because it's a work. He's going to go play some concerts.
Well, he is going to do some concerts, but I just look at the fact that he was going to have that
time
off.
We've been talking about
anyway.
How he has time off, exactly, but we hadn't talked about storyline-wise. In fact, they set up what looked like a feud with Orton, which now he comes back to. It's perfect. It's a work.
I just look.
Everything's too perfect here.
Is it?
It is.
The closest thing I can liken this to is, remember when Bradshaw goose-stepped in Germany?
Yeah.
That's pretty much, and he didn't get suspended.
No, and he didn't.
That's why I was kind of looking at this as, you know, he gets suspended for 30 days, and it's, you know, and that, okay, I can see what you're doing there then. Okay, he does this, this happens, he needs to get that time off anyway, why don't you suspend me for 30 days to save
And
me?
I know
okay,
how to
I
do it. I know how to do it. I've wrestled all across
the
world, and I know what...
I could see Jerry, if you're going to go with that theory, the way that I look at it, I could see Jericho, whether he knew it was illegal or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, regardless, he does this time-honored or time-tested heel stomp on the
he
flag.
He knew it was great heat.
Remember HBK humping the flag?
Yeah, humping the Canadian flag.
Humping the Canadian flag. But, I mean, the thing is, I could see...
Stu Hart was not pleased.
No, but Stu's dead.
Oh.
Right? No, he was at that point, remember? And his body didn't, his brain didn't know it, and he was just walking around, remember? But the thing
is... a zombie, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what Sean said.
Oh.
Yeah, after the sunny days.
Yeah.
The thing is with Jericho is I could see Jericho doing it when it got illegal and he got to go, and he wants it, he's on this plane ride home, sitting thinking, going like, oh shit. Well, you know what? Save face. Okay, why don't you guys save face and suspend me?
Yeah.
You know what? Then you guys look great. You know, I'll sit at home. It sucks. I'll sit at home. If I get some things I can do, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Boom. I can see that.
I can see that, too.
I can see that.
I can see that, too. Either way, I'm just... It's something that, you know what, you... He wrestled in Japan and saw people do that to the Japanese flag. He wrestled in Mexico and saw people do that. He wrestled in Germany and saw people do that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows... It's just, yeah, I this is a work. As far as I'm concerned, there's a... It's just 90% work and 10% real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd probably go with 25-75 in the real work part, but okay. I think that the circumstances...
Too perfect.
...led to the work.
It's the perfect guy. It's the perfect timing.
I just think the circumstances led to the work.
Maybe.
I don't think this
maybe.
Was
maybe. I bet you he knew ahead of time.
I don't... Yeah, see, this is... I don't
I
think
bet
this
he
was
knew
a
ahead
premeditated...
Of time. I don't... He may not have known it was against the law, but I bet you he knew that it would cause such a controversy in that country that they would be able to suspend him and legitimize it. I bet you he knew that. And then they said, oh, it's also against the law. He goes, well, get me the fuck out of the country then.
And
that's a send me. But who knows?
No. I think that the get the fuck out of the country, that wasn't his call. It was, you can go to jail or you can leave the country.
Yeah.
Like that was it. So I don't think it was premeditated. I think it was a situation where once he was on the plane, then he conjured up the how to get suspended. I could definitely...
I bet you it was the other way around. I bet you he had it when he went in there.
Well, either way, it's a disappointment. And speaking of...
No, it's great. You know what? Here's the thing. And they had a fresh matchup, too, with him. Him and Orton have both been heels forever, so they've never really gone together and had a program. I was looking forward to that. And now you can come back to that, too. That's great.
We've never had a program.
They weren't on a program. No, they haven't. They were both heels forever.
Okay. Well, didn't Jericho save us 2-2-2?
No, come on, that was one fucking match.
Was it only one match? I don't know.
It was one fucking
match. Right, because then he went into JBL.
Yeah.
Right away.
It was one match. They've never had a program.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
And one was a babyface and one was a heel and both were cast wrong. This is right. This is new. This is fresh.
Yeah. Still didn't really do anything for me, but...
I like it.
Yeah, it's filler.
I like it.
It's not bad. I will say
it's
that.
It's
not bad.
Upper mid card, two good workers.
Yeah, okay.
And a fresh beard.
That's right. Yeah. I'll give you that. Speaking of disappointment, as I was saying, this Monday, May 28th, there's going to be a revolution. You say you
viral.
Want a revolution. Well,
the viral campaign that they started that we were wondering what it would be.
We all want to change the world.
Then it got leaked a little early. You mean the video game for WWE 13?
Video game, just a week or two ahead of the E3 convention. They're going to, yes, and that's
give everybody a little more background about what we're talking about here.
Well, what they started to do on WWE.com is they started to put some sort of embed these videos in when you go to watch a video of, you know, like Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels against Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith from Raw 97. All of a sudden, this video revolution, and it would show, you know, things of like DX, and it would show, snippets of, even Superfly Snuka, I think, flying off the cage on one of them. Just little wrestling snippet, CM Punk, you know, do I have your attention now? That thing. So they were doing that. So then all of a sudden, the speculation come in is, you know, is this Matt Morgan? Is this Conor O'Brien? Dean Ambrose? What is this? Who is this?
Tyler Black,
and then, but none of it was on television.
No.
This was all online, and so that was sort of the first tip-off. I'm thinking, well, this would be the first time they've ever done anything on television, and then as soon as that thought ended, I thought, well, they're not with it enough to only do that, and they're certainly not in a position to only do that, and in terms of their website and their TV in terms of the connection there, the disconnect. So it wouldn't work because the idea is,
if I could just play devil's advocate a little bit, the idea is we're doing it on the Internet, so the viral campaign will go to other Internet sites. The idea is that the viral campaign takes over the Internet, which is what a good viral campaign does, and doesn't go to television or anything else. That's the idea. Hey, we're going to keep it to the Internet, so it ends up on not just wrestling sites, but other Internet sites. That's the hope.
Well, that was, I mean, and I think when you say that, that is the hope of a viral campaign.
Yeah.
With this viral campaign, it's for a video game. Let's put it on the computer. Seriously, I'm not even joking. That
could be.
Is going to be that. That's their mentality.
You have to keep in mind the last video game didn't sell very well.
No,
and that was after they revamped the franchise.
Yeah.
So they got to do something.
Well, took the Lucha mask off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Revamped the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But retard. But. But that's, I mean, so that was, that's really what it is this video game, and you're right, I mean, they're going to hope to...
This isn't something that smells to me like Vince McMahon had much idea or cared much about what was going on. Oh, you guys want to do something for the video game on our website? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a computer game, so they put it on the internet. Or a video game, they put it on, that was as much thought as it was. But what it does do, speaking of their website, is WWE's got a couple of... interesting lists on there.
Okay.
I'll
tell you what we'll do here is we're going to do something. So we're talking internet. We're going to go to a couple of their lists. Let's go to the WCW one first.
Okay.
Okay. And they have a list of WCW, and then they have a list about best talkers.
Yes.
And then from that, what we're going to do is we're going to go and give you a list of search items that have found our website.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about our vlogs.
And then we'll give you another list. Because we promised it last week, the list of the DVDs that we would
come up with.
There you go.
So there you go. So we got a little format going here.
Shit.
That's more than we usually have.
I was going to say, I'm a little frightened.
And we have a big interview this week that we promised last week that we'll be on, too.
Oh, yes, yes. We got to get a hold of campaign headquarters for that. But,
yeah.
But the first list, the top 50 WCW superstars.
Yeah.
Okay, now, there are a couple of rules with this.
Okay.
Okay, so a couple of criterium here, I guess. Eligibility begins with Ted Turner's purchase of WCW in 1988.
Okay.
So this isn't NWA/WCW. This is
just
WCW.
I was going to mention that, actually.
This is
Ted
Turner's WCW. So this is 1988 to 2001.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Competitors who were...
Which means a Harley Race is not really...
That's right.
You know.
He was a manager.
Yeah, exactly. He was a 7-time world champion in NWA.
That's right.
But not in WCW,
that's
right?
That's right. And it's only on their accomplishments in WCW. So the example they give here is whatever Bret Hart did in the WWF doesn't matter for this list, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's based on everything from longevity to cultural impact, blah, blah, blah. Personal biases may have also crept in. Okay, so.
Personal biases always creep into everything.
Yes, exactly.
Let's go through this. Starting
Let's
at number,
go to number 50.
50 to 41 here.
All right. So
we have not seen this. We should also mention we haven't seen this yet, so our reactions will be live on the air.
Ah.
Number 50, Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett.
Actually seems a little low for me, but I guess we'll get a little further on the list.
Well, I mean,
not have him on there, right?
When you think of Jeff Jarrett, though, I mean, he was really only there for, what, a year? Year and a half?
More than that.
Well, he was there he had two runs.
Yeah.
He did that, he was there as a mid-card feuding with Mongo, U.S. title, in that NWO heyday.
Yeah.
And then he come back and was
he or wasn't he part of the Horsemen? He was going to be the next guy, and the Horsemen picked by Flair, that was an angle.
But then he was Slap Nuts guy, right?
Yeah.
And then he got
a big, though. I mean, in many ways, you say he was the face of the company went out of business.
He was certainly
the top five most important characters as the company went
died.
Out of business.
That's the key.
So, yeah.
Number 49.
So what? I never blamed him. It was good that I put there. See, there you go, though. There's no way you put this next guy ahead of Jeff Jarrett.
Uvi?
Juventud Guerrero?
You don't put Uvi?
No, you
ahead
don't
of
put
Jeff Jarrett.
You do not put Uvi ahead of Jeff Jarrett if this is a real list.
Well, I mean, but
one's a world champion. One's one of the faces of the company. One had some tremendous matches. The other one had some tremendous matches.
But when you talk
that's
about
the only thing that's even.
But I also
when you think of WCW, I guarantee you more people think of fucking Jeff Jarrett than Uvi.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's probably about the same, to be honest. When I think of when you looked at the height of the cruiserweight division, Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, Juventud Guerrero is in that list.
He's in the list, but he's not at the top of it.
He's in the top five.
Ultimo Guerrero.
Yeah, okay. He's in
the top ten.
I would maybe put him ahead of Psychosis, to be honest.
Kidman.
For the push, yeah, Kidman's got to be in there. Even Eddie might sneak in there as well, right? But, I would put him anyway.
He doesn't go ahead of Jarrett.
I think, though, rightfully...
Anybody who is a 2- or 3-time world champion... Dennis Rodman's fucking 48.
See?
Fuck. Okay, go. Keep going. I mean, I would put him in the top 50 probably because he meant something. But I mean, again, you don't put him ahead of. I don't put him ahead of.
Well,
I don't put him ahead of Jarrett. I probably would have him ahead of Hoovy. Let's go. Keep going.
Ming.
See, what the fuck did he ever do?
Ming. Who did he ever beat?
You still think of Ming as his best friend was with Faces of Fear. You still think of him as a WWE guy as Haku. Fuck that. Go. Otherwise, it's going to take forever. Larry Zbysko. Well, he had the great feud with
Regal.
Regal. Well, no, actually, I was going to say with.
I guess
with
he
Hall.
Wasn't with who?
With Hall in the.
Yeah.
In the height of the. NWO again.
But you also again early 90s. He was the cruncher. He was in the Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson. He was in the Dangerous Alliance.
I like him on the list. I don't mind that at all.
He's probably actually about right.
Yeah, I'd say so. Canyon. See again, you don't put Canyon ahead of Jeff Jarrett. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't put Canyon ahead of Jeff Jarrett.
I would have him on there, but. I mean, he's probably in about the right spot.
I don't put
Jeff Jarrett. But not against Jeff Jarrett. It's like they had to put Jeff Jarrett in, so they put him at the very bottom of the list, because they hate him.
Mm-hmm. I also don't put Canyon ahead of Larry Zbysko.
No, I don't.
Or Uvi, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do that Uvi didn't?
He flew off the top of a three-foot, or a three-story cage. Bobby Eaton.
Beautiful Bobby.
Bobby Eaton, the height of his career was kind of... right before really Turner purchased it in many ways, but he had the TV title, good run with Steve Austin and stuff like that in the early
90s.
Well,
I mean, he...
Midnight Express was still around in 88.
He teamed, he was a TV champion. He teamed with Arn Anderson.
Again, with Regal.
With Regal as a Blue Bloods, that's right.
When I think of him, I think of his, his run as TV champion against Steve Austin.
Yeah.
When Steve Austin was first being legitimized in WCW and was first got there.
I do think more of Bobby Eaton as an NWA guy,
That's kind of the thing.
Saturn. Okay.
Okay, Saturn, I would have him against Canyon, but I wouldn't have Saturn higher than fucking Jeff Jarrett.
No.
Saturn, unfortunately, he's mired by the fact that he wore a dress for much of his WCW career.
Well, I don't know if that mires until you...
It does. So he lost a match against Jericho.
I remember. Until you... for 90 days. And then he liked it.
So. Sound familiar, Vito?
Yeah. Oh, Dustin.
That's a good spot for Dustin. Dustin Rhodes, number 42.
You think
good
so?
Good with that, yeah.
I just... To me, I look at the early 90s as well. And I just, I mean, I may have bumped him down about 10 spots. You know, I wouldn't put him...
He's a U.S. champion and stuff. He had a nice feud with Arn Anderson.
U.S. champion. He did Rick Rude. Teamed with Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, but end of the day, he was Dusty's son over there.
Well, for the...
It wasn't until he formed his own... Bret Hart, okay, about 41. World champion once.
At the end of the run,
twice,
yeah.
A couple times, whatever. Yeah, I mean, he had some... He had, you know, U.S. titles that matches against Sting and,
Flair.
DDP. Yeah. It's all right. Luger.
That's about where he should be.
That's about where he should be on a WCW list,
number 41.
Let's hit the next one.
I'm trying to. I got something stuck in my shirt here. Kevin Sullivan.
That's about the right spot for Sullivan.
You think so?
I think so.
Again, Kevin Sullivan is someone that I would have thought would be a little higher in terms of, he did.
He had some nice feuds. He never was a champion in anything, but except, I believe, a tag title.
When did the Varsity Club go?
That's really NWA, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he had that great feud with Benoit. He did feud with Hogan.
I bet you that guy's on the list.
I bet he's not. He should be. But let's see who's
He should be. Honestly, that's the thing. Is he should be if you're being a legit list, right? See, here you go. Kurt Hennig. What the fuck did he do over there?
Yeah, exactly.
What did he do compared to... He's there because of it, and they say personal bias goes in. Well, that's it. We were just watching, when we were talking about watching Lou Albano, we watched a Nitro from 1997, late 97, November 97.
August of 97. August 11th, 97.
There you go.
It was Macho Man against Kurt Hennig.
Yeah, exactly. It was the main event of this Nitro. It's about 7 minutes, and it's not very good. And we mentioned how we wish we could have seen that in 1992 instead of 1997, because one's about 42, another one's about 44, and you could tell they lost a step. And that's the thing about Hennig. His entire run, he lost a step. In fact, in his entire run in WCW, He actually performed less, drew less money, had less good matches than Bret Hart, who's at 41, we said.
Yes, but you know why he gets ahead of Bret Hart? You know why he gets ahead of Dustin Rhodes and why he gets ahead of Jeff Jarrett on the, and Perry Saturn on this list? No. Because he likes country music.
He likes
country girls.
He did have that.
He likes Willie Nelson. And don't forget about Merle.
That's right.
Rap is crap to me. Immediately it's like, okay, it's a top 50 list. Rap is crap. Kurt, you start at 40. Everyone else has to start at 50. You start at 40, and then we'll pare you down.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. That was one of the great things in the history of it.
Oh.
Michael P.S.A., that's a good spot for him.
That's, yes. I'm a free bird. What's your excuse,
yeah.
P.S.A.?
Beat Lex Luger in 1989, I believe, for the U.S. belt, you know, team with...
Again, Varsity Club, or not Varsity Club, Freebirds, sorry.
Freebirds, yeah, Garvin and him, a nice team.
Yeah,
good spot for him. He was in War Games.
The Match Beyond.
Yeah, Cactus Jack.
Oh, bang,
37.
Bang.
Perfect. Perfect spot for him.
Yeah, this is about the right spot for Cactus Jack here, number 37. I'm okay with that. Ultimo Dragon. Okay,
perfect.
Yeah, okay, 36. And again, if you're putting Uvi 49, you're putting Ultimo Dragon 36.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
You just don't put Uvi ahead of Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, I think you do. All right, let's go to 35.
Lord Steven Regal, perfect again.
Perfect, you think?
Yeah.
I think Regal, to me, Regal's in the top half.
We'll see who gets there, but so far I would have him ahead of everybody on this list. But,
yes.
But there's a lot of guys. I think he's in a good spot, 35.
I mean, yeah, he was in a lot of ways. I mean, when you think, again, of the entire run of WCW, when he came in, 92, roughly, right? And he was there,
mm-hmm.
you know, outside of the real man's man deal
mm-hmm.
until, you know, almost.
But he wasn't
end.
Good the whole time he was there. He got fat for a period. He had addictions. He got lazy at points. He had some good moments and some not. He had some good moments and some not. So, sure, he was there a lot, but not all of it was great. He had some issues. 34, Conan. Again, I have no problem with that.
I put Regal ahead of Conan.
I know.
And why? What did Conan do?
Conan, as member of the NWO and his catchphrase, was a bigger star and meant more to the company than Regal.
Actually, I'll give you that. I'll give you Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy. That's right. Ucho Lacho Spashers forever. Yeah.
He helped them, He helped form the relationship with getting Mexican wrestlers into the company, helping them know how to book them properly, helping them know how to, he helped them actually in Southern California build a fan base. He was such a big star there. So he was, he's ahead of Regal. Terry Funk, I would have him lower on this list. I think at 33, Terry Funk is too high.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Not if it's NWA.
Well, you know, but you did have, I mean, you
when
said...
When was Flair, I guess his feud with Flair was 89,
I Quit was 89, so, I mean, you said, you know, you would put that I Quit match just
on every
DVD.
Yeah, that's true.
And so,
that's 89.
But
okay,
does that give you 33? I don't know if that gives you 33, but, I mean, that...
His late run there in WCW was not very good.
But, I mean,
no,
who's
but
what?
You're right, he had that one or two good, great years.
Yeah, so...
That's true.
Let's see.
Lance Storm
from Calgary.
Well, I'll try and talk about the personal bias. My favorite thing, he won all the belts but the world belt.
Alberta, Canada.
Yes. Where we're from. Recording right now.
Well, I remember he changed the Canadian championship from the U.S., the under 100-kilogram championship.
Again, though.
The Saskatchewan Hardcore.
That was the hardcore belt when he changed it to the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title. Was probably the, but again, you talk about it. He's there and he's doing all this as the company's going out of business.
That's it. Exactly.
How do you possibly put him ahead of
Terry Funk?
Well, how do you put him ahead of Terry Funk
or
Jeff
Regal.
Jarrett?
I put him ahead of Jeff Jarrett.
How?
Huh?
They're there at the same time. Jeff Jarrett's higher on the card and means more.
Does he mean
has
more?
Better championships? Yes, he does. Absolutely.
Say
what you will about Lance Storm, he was still mid card. And Jarrett was, say what you will, at least main event.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could, I mean, but I mean, I have Regal, I have Terry Funk.
I think,
of
I think, I think, I'd have, a, I'd have,
I have Ultimo
Lance
Dragon.
Storm 40.
I'd have
about 40.
I'd have Dustin Rhodes ahead of. When I say again, you're thinking when you, one of the things you said when you think WCW.
Yeah.
You know, I think of all those people ahead of Lance Storm. The Great Muta is also a guy that I think of. This is probably actually to me the perfect spot for Great Muta.
Yeah.
You know, I 31.
I'd probably have him higher, but.
Well, I might make it an argument for higher, but. You know, I think when it all, I get the feeling when it all shakes out, 30-31 is a good
probably,
spot.
At the end of the day, I can say this about Great Muta, still more of a Japanese guy than a WCW or NWA guy. So I mean, 31's okay.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, at Great Muta, I would, the thing is that if Liger's on this list,
yeah,
right, I have Muta ahead of Liger on this
and
list.
And I have Liger ahead of Muta.
See, I just,
and I think Liger shows up.
Didn't Muta showed up more, though? Muta came more, didn't he?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Well, I mean, it's...
I don't think so. But
Raven.
Okay. That's too high for Raven.
You mean Raven should be lower on the list? You mean...
Yeah, he shouldn't be ahead of a Regal.
Oh, too high on the list, I think.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be ahead of Regal.
He shouldn't be a Funk, even. No. He's too high.
He should be ahead of Lance Storm.
I would agree, but just ahead of Lance Storm. Like, one spot ahead of Lance Storm so far.
You know what? But again,
he's too high. Number 30, he's too high.
At the height, though, of
at the height, he had the Ravens flock, and he had the U.S. title, and a nice feud with
Benoit,
DDT, and Benoit, and shit like that, and some stuff with Goldberg, whatever. End of the day, he was there for a short time, and it didn't matter when he left.
No, but did it matter when any of these people left?
So far, right?
I mean, I don't know. I think that's a decent, spot. Billy Kidman. There you go. I mean,
I probably have Kidman below Ultimo Dragon if you're talking about cruiserweights.
You know what? But Kidman kind of.
But Kidman's a good spot for him.
If you're going to argue about
towards
the end,
fucking Hulk Hogan.
That's
right,
brother.
Hulk Hogan put him over, clean as a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Really meant something.
It's funny that's Hogan. Not mentioned in their write up here.
Yeah. Funny.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? He went on later on to marry Undertaker. Buff Bagwell. I'm on a program. Buff Bagwell.
Buff was introduced as the...
He was there forever. He was a star there.
Well, he came in 1991 and...
Tag guy, largely.
Oh, God, tagged out his so many.
Found his character later on.
Too
yeah,
Cool
fine.
Scorpio, the Patriots.
A 400 guy named Scott.
Scott Norton. I mean, yeah, so...
Scott Norton.
Scotty Riggs.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And he found his character. It's a memorable character.
That's the perfect spot for him.
That's the perfect spot. I mean, he sucked, but he didn't. You know what I mean? Chris Jericho, 27. That's
27
great spot.
Jericho.
I love that.
Yeah.
If anything, he might be a little higher because he was so entertaining, but ultimately, his legs got cut off from him before he could ever achieve his full potential there, and thank God for... It as a WWE fan.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I mean, he was, like, when you're talking about, I mean, clearly Jericho goes ahead of Raven.
Yeah.
But not that much ahead of Raven. And again, when you were arguing with his longevity,
it isn't
a situation where, I mean, how long was Jericho there?
About 3 years. Longer than Raven, but...
Was it longer than Raven?
Oh, yeah.
If it was longer than Raven, it wasn't much longer than Raven.
95 to 98, right? Raven was really 97 to 98, I think.
Okay, yeah, 96. Yeah, okay. But, I mean, so it was a little longer.
A couple years longer.
I think... and he had Ralphus.
So. No, I mean, Jericho was great there. Jericho didn't get the world title there, but he could have. He was great there.
Jericho got...
Once he got his
character... you know what?
Not at the beginning. When he was Lionheart Chris Jericho, he wasn't great there.
No.
But once he got his character, that heel character, he's one of the most entertaining things when you look back on... If you go to YouTube and watch the best things in Nitro, Jericho's name's going to show up a lot from his time there.
Yes, you say that, but, I mean, Jericho got to be the first ever undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion.
Yep.
Because of what he did at the end of his WCW run, right? I mean, like that.
This is it. He knew he was a star, and they knew and WWE knew he was a star, and he knew he wasn't going to become the star he could be, and WWE knew they weren't going to let WCW wasn't going to let him. So
exactly,
good. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so now 26 is Ravishing Rick Rude.
Good spot for Ravishing
Rick
Rude.
That's a very good
spot.
One of my favorites.
There's a wicked picture of him too.
That is. He's awesome. His belt's upside down.
One of my all-time favorites.
But yeah, I mean,
the big gold belt, that's the international.
That was when he was the international champion. That's right, when they had two world champions.
Yes.
Two world champions in the same company. Fucking stupid is that?
I know.
Nobody would do that now.
But, yeah. I mean, it's he debuted, I remember, in 91 when he was at the Halloween Havoc as the Phantom or whatever it was, Mass Phantom, and he came in. The U.S. champion. Great Iron Man match against Steamboat.
Steamboat and Sting. And, he had some great moments there.
Yeah,
for sure.
So.
For sure, definitely. Part of the Dangerous Alliance, right?
Oh, yeah. He was the
with Austin, Heyman. That was Heyman's group. And,
well, Rude was the cornerstone. He was the U.S. champion.
Yeah.
And Austin was a TV champion, and then he had, it was so.
This next one is one I wish wasn't on that list, but it's undeniable. He should be there.
Yeah,
Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff. And
halfway through. Let's keep moving, otherwise it's going to take fucking forever.
That's true, and we have another list to go. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
24? That's probably about right. Great matches, tag stuff, U.S. stuff. Of course, the near year-long title reign. What's that?
It's too low.
No, it isn't. Because near the year-long title reign, end of the day.
Three words for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Chi-Town Rumble.
Okay, several more words for you. Didn't draw hardly anything. Nobody thinks of him as a WCW guy. He didn't really mean that much for them. At the end of the day, he didn't really mean that. He had great matches, but he didn't really mean that
much. When we get into the top 10,
okay,
we're going to get into people that meant something for dollars.
Yeah.
Because there probably are. On camera. I mean, we just passed the guy.
How do you put him? If you look at where Funk is, then this is relatively speaking.
Well,
perfect.
But when we because Funk did his I Quit. And we're talking Chi-Town Rumble. We talk about that I Quit match. That's one moment, okay.
And again, we're talking about
Rick Rude.
We're talking about
Steve Austin.
What we're talking about 5 years that he was there. He wasn't there for the whole thing either.
Well, we're talking though about a 12-year span, right? Of 89, or is it a 25-year span?
Ricky Steamboat in WCW?
No, 89 to 2001.
Okay, he wasn't there in 2001, Doc.
But that's the time frame that we're looking at,
okay.
Right? Correct?
Yeah.
So we're talking
there for
about
50% of that?
So we're talking about 12 years.
Yeah, he was there for about five years of that.
Yeah, okay, but how many of these guys have been there longer than that?
Well, when we get further up, probably quite a few.
Well, sure, when you get to the Arn Anderson.
Well, that's exactly it. We're not there yet. That's why he's in a perfect spot.
I just think that...
He's not too high. That's perfect for him. He didn't mean that much. He had great matches, didn't draw a lick.
I would put him higher.
I still think of him as a WWF or WWE guy too. First,
well,
Barry Windham, perfect. If that's where Steamboat is, I would have him about one above. World champion there, some great matches. Wasn't there during the height. Was a cornerstone though. It kept the company going when Flair was gone. Perfect.
How many years was Barry Windham there?
Probably about the same. Probably about five, I'd say.
Hmm. Yeah, I put. I would actually flip those two, but I mean that's arguable either way. I'm not going to argue that. That's either way. Rey Mysterio.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is a
great spot for
again, and we're talking about the cruiserweights.
And now
the cruiserweights are kind of going in that order.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And now the only cruiserweight you could have ahead of that, if anybody, well, I guess, are Eddie and Dean. If you want to go there.
Yeah, Eddie and Dean, and I mean, obviously, we haven't seen Brian Pillman's name on this list yet either.
No, that's true. Or Liger.
Yeah, that's right. The dog-faced gremlin.
Okay, Rick Steiner. Yeah, great.
21? Yeah, okay.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the Steiners are WCW guys.
They're WCW guys,
for
sure.
That's true. You know what? Though, if we're doing this list and we're doing it in order and people are getting the best of each other, if this is 21, Rick Steiner, number 20, has to be Chucky.
Oh, go look at that on YouTube. Yeah. His conversation with Chuck. There we go, Brian Pillman.
20.
Brian Pillman, yeah, I mean, that's a good spot for him.
Really?
Yeah, if anything, it's a little hot.
I think it's a bit too high.
It might be a little
hot. If we're going to, and I'm not going to argue about Wyndham.
Here's a
Steamboat, but
when I say Brian Pillman is number 20 and I say it's not too high, what I mean is where Brian Pillman should have been if he was used properly and given the chance to meet his potential, he would have ended up at number 20.
Also,
where he was in reality is not that high. Right?
Also, that's the first time that anybody's used the phrase Brian Pillman and not that high together.
True. Very fucking true.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
We're in the top
20. Speaking of which, are we getting Eddie Guerrero?
Number 19. We're in the top 20 here. The Giant.
Yeah. I got no problem with that. Again.
That's...
Yeah. I mean, he debuted in what, 95 again, mm-hmm. we're talking? So, and he left in 90.
When he actually got the belt, he had a pretty nice run beating people like Sting and Luger and legitimized them. He was part of the NWO. He was part of the company when they took off. And
for his longevity in the company and his meaning and his money drawing ability, his time on top, that's
I don't blame him for Cobalt Hall.
No, I blame Gordon solely.
Yeah.
Number 18. Orale.
And that's Dean in the cross.
And Dean's in the, in the
STF.
The Regal Stretch, or, yeah, STF, actually, yeah. But, okay, so that's, I mean, we don't really need to say too much. I mean, he gets to be 18
it
probably.
It really is high for him, for what he accomplished there.
It is. I mean, Battle Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Television champion.
U.S. title.
Cruiserweight. U.S.
So
Latino world order.
So nothing, basically everything that we just said about him that we could have said about 10 guys earlier.
About
in the
Lance Storm. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. So, but
That's because of how well-respected he is.
Exactly.
I would put him that way.
When they said personal bias. Speaking of personal bias.
Arn Anderson he was the foundation in many ways for that company for many, many years. When I think of WCW guys, he's one of the guys I think of. I don't even think of him as NWA guy.
You know what,
I think of him as a WCW guy.
You know what his equivalent is in the WWF?
Okay.
Is Tito Santana.
Yeah.
You know, just
during that era.
That rock of Gibraltar that's there.
He was there for everything.
Going to always give you the solid, whether it's in a tag or in an upper single, is going to just give it to you, and you know what you're going to get, and is well-respected. And that's, So that I have no problem with him being number 17. While not as big of a star as probably six or seven guys on this list already.
He's WCW's best.
He's.
Yeah, they lay in. So, Ron Simmons, good spot for him.
Damn. Yeah, that's a good spot. I mean,
16.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Not much else to say there. Stunning Steve Austin, number 15.
Probably too high.
So far, I could throw a couple people. I could throw Ricky Steamboat ahead of him.
Yeah.
I could throw Barry Windham ahead of him.
You could throw Eddie Guerrero ahead of him.
I don't know that I could throw Eddie Guerrero ahead of him. We talked about a guy.
Certainly Barry Windham, yeah.
We talked about a guy that.
Again, we're talking about a guy. A tag title, television title, U.S. title. One time ever. He challenged for the world title in pay-per-view against Sting.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You're right.
Again, if we're talking his potential, if they had let him reach it, that's fine, or even higher.
Well,
if we're talking reality of where he is, it's not that high.
Well, but the one thing I will say, but he's a guy we talk about again.
He's not higher than Jeff Jarrett in actual reality in that company.
Yes, he is.
No, he is.
Yeah. I mean, you talk
no,
about,
he isn't.
Yeah.
He was there, again, he didn't get a chance because they didn't let him reach his potential. And because he was there before business was big, no.
See, but you're talking about a guy that didn't get to reach his potential versus a guy that was given something beyond his potential.
See, I disagree. I don't think it was given something beyond his potential. I think he was given something. We don't know if that could have been his potential because the company was in such a shit state at the time for Jarrett.
Jarrett's your mid-card. And they gave a mid-card guy a world title. But, I mean, you also have to look at with
Jarrett,
Steve
Austin, Steiner, Booker T. Those are the three guys challenging for the world title at the end.
Yeah.
They're all at the same level.
And the thing that I would give Steve Austin ahead of Eddie Guerrero is that Steve Austin was part of one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Yeah, and you know what? His very best match is not as good as Eddie Guerrero's very best match.
That's true. That's true.
So in WCW. So no, I disagree.
Okay. Well, let's go with
it's
number...
Too high.
Let's
too
go
high for what he did.
Let's go to 14. Sid. We watched some tremendous Sid promo on.
I think that's too high for Sid.
I
would have Sid below Ricky Steamboat and Barry Windham.
Yes.
So 14 is too high.
Yeah. No, that is. I would. He's about. I. Yeah.
He should be in like mid 30s.
Yeah, I was gonna say he'd be. He shouldn't be in the top. Well, he might make the top 25, but barely.
Yeah. I wouldn't have him quite
you
that
say
high.
30. I say 26 or 24. I mean, it's all kind of. Let's go to lucky
I think
number
30 to 35.
Lucky number 13, who are we going to have here? Dino Machino.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Does it?
He's number one cruiserweight in the history of that company, yeah.
I guess. I guess you could say that because he when you're talking about a guy who's against the Rey Mysterios and the Chris Jerichos and the Eddie Guerreros, the feud, the constant there is Dean Malenko.
The constant great matches, part of the Horsemen, great feud with Jericho, number one in PWI Top 500 as a cruiserweight.
Yeah,
doesn't mean a lot, but it means something. They still put a cruiserweight up there.
It means shit. PWI.
So I got no problem with that.
Eddie Elmer right
now? Don't get me wrong, it's too high, but I would have him as the highest. It is too high, but I would have him as the top cruiserweight.
Speaking of high, number 12, Hey-o.
That's good. That's perfect.
Scott Hall is great. That's a thing. So.
Actually, I'm surprised. Actually, I probably would have him in the top 10, personally, but yeah. That's good. I mean, he's up high. He deserves to be.
Yeah. No, that's right.
It's up high. He deserves to be.
Yeah. Number 11.
Accurate.
Beta.
Yep. Just outside the top 10. That's probably pretty close. He was awesome, but just before the company really took off to the next level.
No. Vader is great.
Yeah.
Vader is a top 20. Vader is not a top 10 or number 11.
I disagree.
All we keep talking about here, your big arguments is how long have they been in the company?
Yeah.
How long was Vader in the company?
Five years, I guess, maybe four years.
Right, so when he showed up in 1992 and he left the fall of 95, that's 3 years?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I thought he was there in 91. He was there in 91 for sure.
Was impactful.
And he was there, he was main event for his entire run. Unlike a Rick Steamboat, Vader was main event his entire run.
I would put him. That's what I said. I would put him ahead then. And given the list that we've seen, I think this is a bit.
I'm probably a little bit biased because I think he's the best big man of all time.
Yeah. I mean, but
quality of matches, persona, the fact that I consider him a WCW guy, all of it.
Again, we talk about money though too, and there wasn't a lot with Vader.
He did well against Hogan, actually. So, but
well,
but again, it was relative speaking. I mean, he did well in his. I mean, we talk about it not being much. I mean,
again,
he actually did. Yeah, exactly. He did pretty well against Sting. He did pretty well against Flair. Did very well against Flair, actually.
Yeah, those debacles in Hogan. I mean, I think that's
where is Paul Orndorff anyway?
Too high. In this list?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's with, you know who we should ask? We should ask Gary Spivey of the Psychic Companion Network.
All right, let's go on.
Maybe he's number 10. No, he's not number 10.
He won't be. No, he won't be top 50 now.
Scott Steiner, yes. There you go. He got his run on top. The Steiner brothers are WCW.
I have him top 15, but not number 10.
Do you have him ahead of Vader?
No.
No, I guess I don't have my head. But yeah. You know what, though? If you're also, I mean, if longevity is going to play
close,
a part
though.
Of that,
I mean, like
too.
I said,
yeah,
it's like I probably have Vader number 10.
Yeah.
Steiner 11 to 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's go to number 9 here. Do we have any guesses over who's number 9?
I'll guess Scott Hall.
He was number
12. I mean,
I would
Kevin
say
Nash.
I was going to say, I was thinking Nash at number 9.
Macho Man! I probably don't have a problem with that.
No,
I don't think so. About 7 years there, right? I think that's fine.
Okay, well, here's the only thing that I'm
not much for matches.
Him and DDP and Flair.
The matches 95? Really weren't that good. Not as good as their matches.
They were drawing though.
They were drawing. That's the thing. He was drawing. He was world champion. He helped turn the company around. He was definitely a big part of that. He's a great persona. He put DDP, made him a star.
And that's where I was going to go next, is that he's number 9. We haven't seen that man, DDP, yet.
Yeah. Who I don't think hits top 5, but I expect to go between next 8, 7, 6.
Yeah. But is that, do you put DDP ahead of Savage?
I don't, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
It is pretty close. DDP is definitely top 10 for me. He's between 5 and 10 for me. Booker T,
number 8, okay. Again, Booker T along the same veins to me as Scott Steiner.
Okay, Booker T to me and Scott Steiner along the same veins as Jeff Jarrett showing how fucked this list is. These guys are top 10, and he's number 50.
Right, but these guys, when you talk about the Steiners...
The difference is they were there this whole time in WCW.
Yeah, and they had tag runs. They had, I mean, especially when you talk about Booker. And
I would have Jeff Jarrett probably about number 30.
I
probably
about
the same spot as there with him.
Get over it.
Booker T, that seems pretty... same thing. Much like Steiner, I'd have him in that 11-15 spot. But, yeah, he's definitely high up the list.
Yeah.
Deservedly.
Lex Luger.
Yeah, Lex Luger. Perfect
spot. 7, actually, yeah, that's...
If anything, I'd have him ahead of DDP, actually. I would have him ahead of DDP.
Yeah. Would you have him ahead of Kevin Nash? Would you have him ahead of Kevin Nash?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, because you know those two names are coming.
Actually, you know what? I probably have Nash ahead of him.
Yeah.
But then...
Because...
I would have Nash ahead of him. I would have him ahead of DDP.
The reason I would have Nash ahead of him, is when you look at when
what it meant when he came over and what it meant when
exactly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's
where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. Number 6, Diamond Dallas Page. Okay.
There you go.
I said
I'd have him between 6 and 10. So that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Good with that. You know what he'll talk to about us. He'll tell us about it and whether or not he should be in that spot.
He should.
We might have him on in the show the next couple of weeks.
Lex, just to tell us about lucky number 7.
We'll talk about number 6.
Number 6, sorry.
There's Nash.
Kevin Nash, number 5. So, again, no problem.
No problem.
There's that. Number 3, Gold or 4, Goldberg.
Goldberg's not that high for me, but he is top 10.
Is he?
But then again, they haven't had Flair yet, and Flair's not top 5 for me either. Probably top 10.
Well, I mean,
I don't have Flair.
You know who the three that are left. Hogan, Sting, and Flair.
Yeah, Sting should be number 1 then. For WCW, Sting should be number 1.
Sting is number 1.
And I would have Hogan top 5. I would have Hogan top 5. I wouldn't have Sting. Now, if we're talking NWA, again, it's totally different. But if we're talking just WCW, I don't have Flair. I don't think I have Flair ahead of Nash.
No, you know who's not on this list?
Chris Benoit?
Piper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Canyon is.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go.
Yeah.
So let's go to number 3, and we will see. Woo!
Beer me.
No, 3 is Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
I
would have had him number 2.
I was going to say, I would have had him number 2.
Yeah.
But, you know. Because, you know, there is a very clear number 1 here, but...
Then we may not get that, though. Let's see.
Number 2?
Oh, well, they did the right thing. Flair is number 2.
Flair is number 2.
Like I said, I don't even have a top 5, top 10, though.
And there's
probably
Sting.
Number 6. And there's Sting, yeah.
And they're showing the right Sting.
Yeah.
There in the picture.
Yeah.
The crow Sting.
Okay, I'm good with that list. Let's move on to the... The best talkers list they did. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, goody. The top 25. Holy shit. Did you sneeze or did you eat something? The masters of the mic. Would you shut up? Jesus Christ. Fuck it. The masters of the mic. You all right? Are you alive?
Yeah, I'm fine. Holy shit.
Is your spleen still inside your body?
Yeah.
All right.
Woo!
All right.
Masters of the mic, top 25. That's perfect, let's get to that real quick.
Okay, number 25.
By the way, how far are we into the show?
Ha-ha! We are about an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Captain Lou Albano.
We were just watching him on YouTube. He's at least number 25.
He's at least
fucking great.
25. That
fucking
man is
great.
Awesome. That man is awesome.
You guys can't understand, unless you go and watch him on YouTube, you can't understand how great he was.
Watch him give love advice.
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
That is the greatest thing ever.
That was hilarious. No. The greatest thing ever was Vince McMahon doing the polka.
Yeah, that's true. I thought we were going to say George Steele and cookies.
Cookies? That was awesome. He better be on the mic. George Steele.
Number, I would have him as top 25 greatest gimmicks or characters, but not greatest talkers.
Though. Number 24, Ravishing Rick Rude.
I wouldn't have him ahead of Lou, but I would have him top 25.
He was a real good talker.
He was a very great talker. But you're right, Lou Albano to me, it's a different. Well, it's not even a. It is a little bit of a different era.
It's a different gimmick.
Well,
but it's not a different.
It's a different era in that Lou Albano was a time where you didn't have a lot of catchphrases.
Yeah.
You just did your thing. Where Rick Rude was a catchphrase.
Yep.
And a very good one.
Yep.
But that's what he was. 23. Santino.
I wouldn't have him in. No. No, you know, I like Santino. Top 100, I might put him in there.
Santino is not ahead of Lou Albano.
Fuck no.
No.
And Santino's good on the mic. I like Santino, but come on.
Yeah, no. 22.
$1 million man. There was a great talker.
$1 million man. Ted DiBiase was an excellent talker.
I wouldn't have him ahead of Lou, but...
I wouldn't have him ahead of Lou. I would have him ahead of Rude.
Yep.
And,
Fucking have him ahead of Santino.
Well, the guy that's standing next to him there, Sid, I would probably have ahead of Santino.
Yeah, I would have Sid in the top 75, probably.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd have him ahead of...
We're live, big man.
Oh, that was bad.
The Miz! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you, WWE!
This list sucks. Really? Really? And do you think in his top 10 promos, he's going to mention how he was once the main event of WrestleMania with John Cena and The Rock?
I bet you he'll say, really?
Really?
Yeah, Miz ahead.
You know what? That should have been the answer. Instead of fuck you, when you brought up the Miz, I should have said, really?
Miz ahead of Lou Albano.
Please.
Jesse the Body.
Miz ahead of Ravishing Rick Rude. Miz ahead of Ted DiBiase. Miz standing next to this man.
Yes, Jesse the Body Ventura, number 20. That is too low.
Way too low.
Yes.
Way too low.
Considering they're going to mix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here,
Triple H, again, not in top 25.
We go.
He's not in the top 25.
No, he's not.
Fuck no.
Hunter, no. No, no, no. The thing is, again.
Hunter's a good promo. Top 50. Top 175.
He's.
Probably, I'd have
he's ahead 50, of the Miz.
Fucking right, he is.
Well, he is, I guess, in this list. So, yeah, fuck.
Paul Heyman. I was hoping he'd make the top, but that's way too low.
That is low. Heyman's top 10.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
So,
easy top 10.
Yeah. Easy top 10. He's top 15. Again, it's a 25, not a 50 list. So
true.
He's top...
He's top 10, though.
Yeah.
Easy. Yeah, I know he's ahead of Edge.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Edge is
on the cusp of top 25, but I probably wouldn't have him there.
Edge is not
Edge
better
would be
than...
between 26 and 35.
Edge is not better than Lou Albano.
No.
Edge is not better than Ted DiBiase. Edge is not better than Rick Rude.
No.
Edge is not better than Paul Heyman.
No.
So, I mean, and not better than Jesse Ventura.
No.
So,
God, no.
There you go. And I love Edge. But.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but he's just not. Mr. McMahon is probably about the right spot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the picture that they've got. It was me, Austin.
It was me all along. Who the hell is CM Punk?
And who the hell is Daniel Bryan? Yes, no, that's about a right spot, about the middle.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. Superstar Billy Graham seems low, but...
Superstar Billy Graham is number 15.
Yeah, that's low.
That is low.
That's low.
It may be the Superstar Billy Graham that's in this picture, besides Sean Mooney and Lord Alfred Hayes as the commentator, but hell's no. Number 14, Foley. Foley's an interesting one.
Because I think Foley's top 10 again, but...
And Foley ahead of the superstar.
Yeah,
Foley and Lou Albano is looking at this list now. Lou Albano is way too fucking low.
No shit.
On this list because holy shit is he just? I mean he's as good or better. I mean
what
we
are you taking a multivitamin.
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Health freak.
I know.
Are you like Hulk Hogan? Take 12 of those in the morning. Another
what
YouTube
you
video?
Do all for Alfred. It's on his Hulk Rules DVD, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Hulk Hogan takes his protein shake and pops 12 pills. Awesome. These will help you. These will give you the energy, brother.
And help you grow 6 inches, brother.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I bet it will. But anyway, Mick Foley.
Maybe he took those before he shot that video, then.
Yeah, probably.
With Bubba the Love Sponge's ex-wife.
That's
the rumor.
Hayes? Oh, that video. That video. Nice. But I think Foley, most diverse When you talk about Cactus Jack and Mankind, he was definitely probably the most diverse. So let's go to lucky number 13.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I don't have Hulk Hogan ahead of Billy Graham. So I think 13 is probably a good spot for him.
Yeah.
I don't have him ahead of Mick Foley.
No, I don't either. Because
he's tough because it's tough to judge his charisma against his promo ability. They're tied in, right?
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, Hogan was captivating, and I would put Hogan in the top 10, I think. Might be okay.
I think that's probably pretty good. Number 13.
Yeah. So. I don't know if he's better than Lou Albano.
He isn't.
Number.
He probably is near CM Punk. See, I think that's high for CM Punk, though I probably have him at the end of top 25. I think as a talker, just ahead of Edge. But
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's where I am, too. This is too high for him.
Yeah.
11. Randy Savage. What it is what it is.
Yeah, that's... he's ahead of
Hogan.
Hogan, which I would agree with. So, you know, he's probably around the right spot, maybe one or two spots higher for me, but...
Bone saws, ready?
Yeah.
No, I think, that's, you know... It's just really weird, this picture, too, to see Vince McMahon smiling next to Randy Savage, but...
Yeah. Yeah, smiling at Savage.
Yeah, at Savage, and he's going, I just banged your daughter here.
He just took her virginity.
Yeah. Popping her cherry. Once it pops, you just don't stop.
Yeah. Step into that shit.
Step into it. Need a little excitement? JBL. Number 10.
He's like another one of those guys like Edge. He's and Punk. He's right at that cusp. He's a really good talker. Number 10? No.
15. I think he's that good.
He's very good. He's a very good talker.
I mean, saw him induct Ron Simmons.
Yeah, he was great there.
Yeah.
End of the day, though, to be a great talker, and he had great psychology to his promo ability. End of the day, though, you got to talk people into the building to some degree, and he never did.
I gave him 10 spots for his ECW one-night stand commentary alone.
That was fucking great.
That's my doorman. Oh... Masahiro Tanaka. That's too high.
Yeah.
That's too high. He's not ahead of Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan or superstar Billy Graham.
Or Lou Albano.
No. Or Ted DiBiase, ironically.
Way too low.
Bobby the Brain Heenan is number 9.
I'm starting to think we won't get Jim Cornette at all now.
I'm wondering who the fuck we're going to get. I mean, The Rock is clearly number 1, but... Fuck, and Steve Austin's up there, but Bobby Heenan is top 5.
Bobby Heenan is a better promo than Ric Flair, and Ric Flair was a great promo. So
yes,
yeah.
Jesus, I'm on number 8.
This list is way more fucked than the other one. Dusty
Heenan is better than Dusty.
See, I don't know about that.
I do.
I'm not so sure. I don't think Dusty's the best promo man in the history of the business.
Mm.
So for me, I mean, I see why people would have him there, but. I am too,
but I don't have a...
His work in WWE, not that great, but his overall promo work.
Americana Butcher Shop.
Okay.
You can't beat our prices, but you sure can't beat our meat.
That's true.
Oh, I love that.
I
would put him a little bit... I put him 6.
Okay. John Cena, I don't have... Again, I think... I don't have John Cena top 25. I don't think I have him top 50.
John Cena...
I have him about the same spot as Hunter.
John Cena is ahead of Bobby Heenan.
Fuck that.
John Cena is ahead...
Of Jesse Ventura?
Of Jesse Ventura, of Superstar Graham, of Ted DiBiase, of Lou Albano, of JBL.
I know he's a great star.
Yes.
But you can't really think of the many great John Cena promos. In fact... the real thing about John Cena's promos is, if at the end of it the crowd might have liked him, but they hate him more and are booing him more because he's annoying, then he's not a great talker. He's good on the mic, but he's not a great talker.
He's not better than Dusty.
He's a great character or great charisma, but he's not a great promo. I'm sorry. He's just not.
Well, and the best part about, you said part of it is the best part of John Cena's promos is at the end.
Yeah. When it's over.
Yeah. Number 6.
Jake Roberts is a great top 15, top 10 maybe. But
given
six is a little high.
Given who's left, though, this is good.
Is he a better promo than Randy Savage?
Yes.
Yes. Is he a better promo than Jesse Ventura?
No. He, again, he was different, though. Didn't raise his voice.
He wasn't a better promo than Dusty.
No. No, no, no.
No, but he was a great promo.
Yeah. Better than Hogan, better than Savage.
Yeah.
You know, again, the guy's better than Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Not on
they had John Cena as a better promo than CM Punk, and he just isn't.
No, I know. I know. Let's go to number four, Jericho. Or five, sorry, Jericho.
I have Jericho probably top 20.
Yeah.
He's definitely ahead of Edge and the other guys from that we've seen
that
are kind of on the cusp, the Miz. But he's not top five.
No,
no,
he's not number five. That is, and he's not better than Jake Roberts, and he's not better than, we go out the list. I mean, the Abanos, the Dusties, all that. He's not
better than Ravishing Rick Rude. He's about the same level as Rick Rude.
He's actually about the same as Rude. That's right. That's a
which
very
is about number 20.
Yeah. Number four, of course, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair was a great promo, but like I said, I probably have him top 10, but.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him as high as number four.
No, he's, again, not better than Dusty.
No. Dwayne Johnson is number three.
The fuck?
Doesn't surprise me.
I am trying to think of who's left.
Well, we know Steve Austin.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Rock is number three.
Roddy Piper. Fuck yes.
Okay.
How could we have forgotten that?
That's just it.
He is top five, for sure. He is awesome. Top five.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have him number two. I'd probably have him at the lower end of top five, only because there was a period there where he just completely lost his psychology and rambled. But he's had some great ones. So that leaves Steve Austin. So that leaves Jim Cornette not on the fucking list. You know what? Yeah. Lick me, you fucking idiot. Okay, it's a fucked up list. I like the WCW one more.
I did too, yeah. That was awful. That was an awful, awful list. Like, that's...
Right. I'm going to take a little moment here. I'm going to talk a little bit about our blogs. Because we're going to go into a different list. Our blogs are becoming extremely popular. They're starting to match the show for popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Your most recent blog was Time to Pull the Plug on Burroughs Clay.
Yes.
Mine was Better Worker, Hulk Hogan, or John Cena.
Yes.
My next blog coming up will be Better Promo. I'm thinking of leaning towards CM Punk versus Bret Hart. Maybe I might go CM Punk versus Arn Anderson. That's an interesting one. But my next one will be, and yours is going to be.
Your next blog should, when you're talking about Better Promo,
you
should be talking about someone against The Miz. Because The Miz is a top 25 promo.
Yeah, fuck that. But my next blog will be Better Promo, and those will be semi-regular Better Promo, Better Worker blogs from on the We Talk Wrestling site.
Yes.
Yours will be...
I have my answer to the general manager situation, how we've kind of gone to this, who the fuck is the general manager. So my answer to that whole debacle.
How to fix the general manager kind of faces.
How to fix the authority figure role in the WWE,
Okay. So then yours will be up next, I suppose.
I'll have mine up probably late tomorrow, I'm thinking, so.
Yeah. Something like that. So the reason we're bringing those up is because, like I said, the blogs are great. People read the blogs, but the blogs aren't the same as the show. The show is, you listen to our show, you come back. Almost everybody comes back, and it just keeps growing. The blogs are found more through searches, though.
Right.
People who are not familiar with us, mm-hmm. Find the blogs when doing a search engine.
Yes.
So we're going to list off to you some of our search engine, some of the things people have typed in based on some of our blogs, because this is pretty damn funny, honestly. Are we going to do that now?
No.
No, you're not ready for it.
We're going to do that after our, we're going to have our
guests. We're going to do our interview first. And then we're going to list off to you some of the really great search key phrases that people have used to find us. But you know what? Let's call up the campaign headquarters.
Search key phrases.
Key phrases.
Is that...
Queef phrases. That's your mom's.
Did you queef?
That's your mom's.
Okay.
That she does. Let's call up Gunnar McMahon.
On the line here. And we've got her on the line. Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. I'm a big fan. It is great to be back on. What fucking show did you say this was?
It's We Talk Wrestling. You've been on the show before.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm
sure.
You know, about a while ago, don't you remember?
Fuck no, but I've been kinda busy.
Well, that's...
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
What have you been, speaking of being busy, what have you been busy up to?
I am preparing to become re-elected as Senator of Connecticut.
Linda, you know what?
Re-elected.
I hate to tell you this, but remember we told you this last time. You actually didn't win and become Senator.
Fuck you. I am the Senator of Connecticut.
Honestly, no. I hate to tell you, you're not, Linda.
You are. You're not currently the Senator of Connecticut.
I am too.
No. honestly, you're not. You're not, Linda.
I am too.
No. No, you're not.
I am too.
No, Linda, you're not.
I am too.
Linda, I'm telling you, you're not.
I am 2 times a million. Shithead.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, that's a little. Uncalled for, but
she's trying to be reelected, and she's using.
Well, that's it exactly. Is I mean, you're trying to get reelected and use it there. But let's talk about the reelection, and let's talk about what sort of things are you going to be doing? What kind of promises? What kind of campaign things are you looking at for the fine people of the state of Connecticut?
My campaign is going to be extensive.
Okay.
I am going to tackle the tough issues.
Good.
First, though. I am going to suck everyone's cock who votes for me.
That's quite the problem. You're not actually, that's not, you're not going to do that, Linda. Come on now.
I am too.
No, you're not.
I am too.
Are not.
I am too.
No, you're not.
Me sucky long time slurp, slurp, slurp.
Okay. Let's clean this up a little bit. Anyway, I know your time is very valuable, and you're going to have to get running here. So, you know, is there anything else that you'd like to tell the listeners in terms of things they can expect from you, or any messages that you want to get across?
Fuck Cena. I hope his ex-wife takes him to the cleaners.
You don't mean that, Linda. That's mean. You don't really mean that.
Yes, I do. Seriously, Cena sucks.
Okay, well, I guess that's what you're going to be leaving with us then, and thanks so much for being on the show again.
Yeah. Well, we said we'd have her back on sometime. Yeah, it took like a year.
She has something to plug.
She has something to plug. She's going to become
re-elected apparently.
Senator of Connecticut.
Senator
Thank you, Linda.
Of Connecticut.
We'll have her on again in the future. Maybe everybody can send us in their questions that they would like us to ask Linda next time she's on. It's Mo, at We Talk Podcast, or Addie, A-D-I-I-E, A-D-D-I-E, at We Talk Podcast. Just send them to Addie.
A-D-D-I-E at WeTalkWrestling.com. Yes.
There you go, WeTalkWrestling.com.
So
you just send them to Addie.
Okay, so yeah, that's me. So
here's some of the search phrases people look and say. This is mainly finding the blogs, then they find the show, and then they stick around.
That's right, yeah.
So we're going to just talk a little bit about some of the phrases people will be commonly using here. Just read some off of our favorites here.
Some of them are fairly straightforward. I mean, it's Ryback.
The blog about, we talked about how Ryback wasn't going to be the next Goldberg.
Right.
Yeah, so.
John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, Extreme Rules 2012. Okay, you're going to get to our recap show. Damian Sandow, Titus O'Neil, and Darren Young. I wrote some things about the new stars, right, that have been on SmackDown.
Let's go Cena suck.
Yeah, let's go Cena suck.
You talk about the good of Cena.
Yeah. Is Ryback on steroids?
Yeah, that was asked.
That was asked, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Like so that's like in our top list, I think. Top 10 or so list. Ryback on steroids is on the list. Wrestling Jobbers is on there.
Yeah.
WWE Ryback on steroids.
Ryback is Goldberg.
Yeah, Ryback is Goldberg.
Will Goldberg chance get him back?
Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar.
Goldberg, think of Ryback.
Yes. Ryback, crowd shouting.
David Otunga Batista.
Yes. Skip Sheffield Goldberg. Ryback looks like Goldberg. Ryback push. Was Ryback in TNA? God, Ryback on roids.
Don't skip too far up.
I'm just looking here. You see
Ryback like Goldberg. Ryback wrestler, the next Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg talks about Ryback.
Is Ryback going to be the next Goldberg of the WWE of the new millennium?
Yes, that's a real one. how long was Samoa Joe undefeated, his Impact Wrestling, and how long Goldberg streak?
Why does Ryback get Goldberg chance?
Here's one, WeTalkWrestling.com/Mary Hart.
Yes. Vince Russo good.
Is Ryback stronger than Brock Lesnar?
Yes. Why Ryback is not fighting powerful WWE superstars?
How did Ryback get a black eye?
Ryback wellness policy.
Yes. Ryback versus Brock Lesnar, who would win?
Who's Ryback versus Brock Lesnar? Who's bigger?
Yes. Ryback bodybuilding. Ryback sucks. Ryback. John Cena jokes. Ryback steroids again. Ryback WWE talk. Ryback Bill Goldberg. Ryback is not getting over.
Ryback bodybuilding.
Yes, Ryback bodybuilding. Oh, God. There's a lot of Ryback shit here. Orton. What is it? Orton Cena sucks. Is Dave Bautista and Ryback our brothers?
That's one of my favorites.
Is Dave Bautista and Ryback our brothers?
Here's what I like. Euchre, there's a lot of beaver.
Yeah, where's that?
See that? That's on there.
Nice.
It's Ryback, our brothers. Yes.
Euchre, there's a lot of beaver. That's awesome.
WWE Ryback, drug use.
Yes.
Why is Ryback not
I wonder
over?
If I could change my Twitter name to that. Ryback, there's a lot of beaver. Or Euchre, there's a lot of beaver. His tights. Anyway, those are some of the ones that have got people searching for
it. There's Ryback on steroids.
And we appreciate everybody that has, in fact, searched for us. As Mo said, on the blogs, it gets to be sometimes, more searched than just the show.
Well, it's because the blogs have many more words in them that the search engines can find. Mm-hmm. That it pops up more, so.
Yeah,
we do appreciate that. And like I say, we're going to keep on. I'm going to mention this. Sometimes some of the stuff we post also, we don't mind somebody taking our stuff and posting it elsewhere and spreading the word,
mm-hmm.
as long as you do spread the word. Now, if somehow we don't get our inspiration for ideas or subjects from anybody else.
Right.
We do get them with questions from you. Again, Mo, at We Talk Podcast. Addie, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yay.
So there you go, and I'm also .com, obviously. But we do get our ideas from you guys sometimes, and we have a couple email questions.
Yes.
We don't get them from anyplace else. Other than that, it's just the news of the industry and our own ideas. Sometimes people do get inspiration for ideas from some of the stuff we do. And you can be a really big name journalist, have a lot of tenure in the business, perhaps, and also take ideas from us. And we don't mind, but we would like a little credit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying who's doing it. You can, though, wade through the possibility of people that it might be.
Well, we know it wasn't Helen Keller. So there's really a few possibilities. But,
Just mention us if you get ideas from us. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying inspiration from, and go ahead and talk about it. That would be appreciated. If on occasion we do have an idea that we do mention, quote, somebody else brings something up, we'll say, oh, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer said this.
We do, yeah. We talk
so,
about
yeah,
that
so
all
yeah,
the
time. Like I say, you can wade through all the names that may be out there that are possible.
Yeah.
That have been doing this to us. But, that's all I'll say. So,
Okay. Well,
that's my little rant.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rant there. Well, let's get to some of the there's a little bit more news still to talk about as well. We did some of the lists. I think we'll sort of put it up because we want to talk. We'll talk about our Blu-rays, our DVDs, but we'll talk about some of the news here first a little bit more. One thing we did talk about and was confirmed: there is Sin Cara is going to be back on SmackDown this coming Tuesday/Friday.
Beat Hunico.
He will beat Hunico, yes, or possibly Epico. There,
I'm actually looking forward to having him back. Honestly.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's, it's going to be another, maybe he'll fight Heath Slater.
And I'm curious to see how he'll do this time. If he has gotten it, if he has a little more, I think he'll be more settled in. I expect better things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect better things from Sin Cara this time around. So hopefully that'll work out.
$75 a mask. Yeah, so I mean, it's just a brief little snippet. WrestleMania is what we talked about, the Extreme Rules buy rate.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania has been pared back to 1.2 million buys.
Still a massive success, and more than last year's, but not as much as the Donald Trump pay-per-view, just a little below it.
Well, that's right. I mean, and what they did is they took a page out of your book, and when they announced those things, they were a little premature.
A little premature?
Yeah, a little and premature. Yeah. But part of that breakdown was 700...
Because they didn't promote Brodus.
That's right, and his mother.
I'm not a fan of Brodus, because I personally am offended by fat people.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
That was a tremendous promo. Captain Lou again.
Captain Lou.
I used to do that when I was fat.
Awesome. I feel the same way when I was fat.
Yeah, well, I used to do it when I was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
711,000 buys for WrestleMania in North America.
That's excellent.
So that is some excellent finger paintings. That also does about a 55-45 split.
Yeah.
Something, and we talk about...
We kept talking about what a big star that The Rock is, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
It turned out that he was the big star in North America.
Well, no, but, I mean, we're 50-50 here. Because, I mean, if 711,000 buys come from North America, that means that, almost...
500,000.
You know, that 500,000 buys come from Europe. Now, contrast...
Which is about what they normally do.
But you contrast that with Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Okay, and we look at 147,000 buys in North America, 104,000 worldwide. So is that about the same?
That's about the same percentage. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. I was just trying to contrast because we're just thinking about the buy rate in North America. Okay. So that would work. So I don't know about Extreme Rules in terms of their availability in England though, as well.
That's true. There's differences with their.
Because sometimes they don't get every pay-per-view.
Some are free, some aren't.
And Brock Lesnar, I would think, would be a fairly big draw because UFC is very popular in England. So,
And Brock Lesnar's name is also Michael Bisping.
Yes.
Yes.
That is true. But it's his real name. A lot of people don't know that. Something that I thought
his
that you would
name.
Something that we did we just posted a live commentary of Over the Limit on the website again.
Our oddly compelling live commentary.
Well, the first time we did it was for a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about in that, and I thought I saw this little snippet when I was flipping around on the internet here, was the Forbes list of the 100 biggest names in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
On that list, The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
15 movies, grossing $2.3 billion, grossed $36 million in 2011. Turns out, according to Forbes, and the majority of people, probably about 95% of the people, Rock, a huge movie star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I have any comment on that or no?
Yeah, no, he's not.
No. Okay.
No, seriously, he's getting closer because he's being a franchise that's doing really well. But he himself has not yet been the draw in movie consistently where he's the guy who's the star and the sole star. Though I think with the G.I. Joe will also help.
Yes,
Pardon me?
Well, if it pushed back to next year.
But that's another one that I think will do really well, even though he's, again, part of an ensemble cast, really.
Mm-hmm.
He has a major role. And then after that, what was his role as Hercules? I think that's the one that's going to really make him that star.
Now, is he going to, for that movie, though, but I haven't heard because they've gone back and forth with this, for this movie, is he going to use the backbreaker or the full Nelson?
I don't know. Break that chain. Well, he's going to put a ring on his finger.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Daedalus, Herc. It's Daedalus.
Filmation.
Yes. Actually, and what it turns out is that Billy Kidman play the role of Newt.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Undertaker's ex-wife, Sarah.
No,
but you did. Billy
I did.
Kidman.
I did, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
Well, let's hit one before the other here, but the other thing we haven't talked about yet is Total Nonstop Action.
Okay,
suing.
We're done. Oh, okay. We're not talking about the product, though.
No, fuck no. Suing World Wrestling Entertainment. Over
you're more familiar with this than me, so go ahead.
There's a fellow...
I would just repeat what you told me an hour ago.
Yes, I guess so. Eh? Oh, that sounds good. There's a fellow that used to work for TNA Wrestling, went over and worked for WWE. His name is Brian Wittenstein. Well, his name still is Brian Wittenstein, but he no longer works for World Wrestling Entertainment. He went over and he started to let them know that he had some proprietary information, that he knew when people's contracts were up, he could help, and he gave some information out. Upon hearing this, WWE fired him.
Mm-hmm.
And then had told TNA, as per standards, they have to, you know, let them know that this is the reason that that they've been fired is because they've been given some information here, and it's just keeping everybody in the loop. Well, TNA has turned around and said, well, I'm guessing you sat on this information for a little while, and so we're suing. This has to do with the timing being that that Ric Flair decided to ask for his notice and no-show some TNA events, in that he wanted to go back to WWE. Part of this, too, as we talked about last week, his daughter getting signed by WWE, and there's all sort of the connection there. Also, we hear that that Alex Shelley is not re-upping his contract, looking to go to WWE. So that's essentially...
Chris Sabin's got to be coming as soon as he can. You have to think.
Well, or maybe. I mean, who knows? Again, this isn't... This TNA's been a little bit different, and since, you know...
It doesn't matter. If they're as close as they seem to be.
Well, maybe. I mean, you would.
That beer's mine. You have the other one.
You would hope so.
I haven't tried that flavor yet.
Oh, you haven't tried that flavor yet? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
fuck no. I better drink my one.
Yeah,
I'll get drinking.
Yeah, you get drinking. But the thing is that, you know, they pushed Saban before as a single. They never really did with Shelley.
No.
So.
But again, it depends on how good friends they are. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. So.
Oh, I would think so, too. But there's also, you know, money to be made and such, right? So
yeah, because he'll make more money if he can stay in TNA than he would if he went to WWE.
You are absolutely correct, sir. No, I mean, it's we'll see. I mean, there's also the thing that I wonder about Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin is the wellness policy, a.k.a. Evan Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah. It's legit. I mean, it's tough to say... I don't know if TNA wants to get into a WCW 4,000 multiple lawsuits going back and forth between the two companies.
Well, that's kind of what I
can't imagine that this is the first time that there's ever been any legal action between the two companies either.
No.
I'm not sure. It doesn't seem to me like they have any evidence. They're just going to argue a point, it almost seems like. I don't know how you prove this. It's difficult to...
I was going to say, there is a way to prove it in that... What it is, and again, it's a judgment call, and it's a semantic situation where what you're looking at is, you know, did they sit on it, and what's the
how do you prove it?
And what?
How do you prove that he?
Okay, I'll tell you how you prove it. What's the definition of sitting on it?
Yeah.
Because they are going to have to, under oath, disclose the timeline, and the timeline is going to be the timeline. And they're going to corroborate the timeline, and they're going to come out to a timeline where everybody, maybe not in agreement per se, sometimes these would get ugly, where the timelines are going to be disputed. But I think here, the fact is WWE isn't disputing what had happened. What the big dispute here is that there's a that they waited too long, essentially. And they're going to say, no, we didn't wait too long. Yes, you did wait too long. Well, okay, a judge now is going to determine what is the definition of too long.
Yeah.
And that's all. And I mean, hopefully it won't have an impact on, no pun intended, is WWE being able to sign guys like Alex Shelley and Ric Flair,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not going to shy
they
away.
They want
from
Ric Flair largely, I think, because the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, he's not going to be wrestling anymore. What's his role on camera, or is he going to be an ambassador? I mean, I'm not really sure what the role is for Ric Flair.
Okay, well, do you have a role for Ric Flair on camera? Does he manage Cody Rhodes?
I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know.
I mean, that's what I was trying to. I was trying to sort of say, like, who does Flair? If you put him on TV, it's got to be as a manager, you know,
an announcer.
You know, but on for what?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
JR on NXT.
Well, you have Regal. I mean,
with JR on NXT.
Yeah, but Regal's awesome.
With JR on NXT. It doesn't matter. So is JR, and he's still on NXT.
Yeah, I know.
It's NXT.
Yeah, but so you put Ric Flair on NXT.
Well,
I mean,
if you're doing Rick JR. That's what I'm saying, though, is I don't really know if there is or what the role is. And same thing, I mean, Alex Shelley, we're hearing that when they go to 3 hours, they're going to go to introduce cruiserweights again. We've been hearing if they do a network that they want a cruiserweight show. So it may be in his best interest, and Saban's and many people's best interest. And Lord knows the X Division's fucked, so why the fuck wouldn't you want to? This is if WWE ever wants to do the cruiserweights, more than any time in history, they can do it right now and brand it their own because there is no X Division or cruiserweights out there to compete with.
That's right. That's right.
That anybody could point the finger to that you're copying. Nobody will say to WWE, you're copying TNA or WCW anymore.
That's right. Austin Aries is feuding with Bully Ray.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right
there. There is no X Division. It's time for that. They should drop that belt completely or just make that belt or merge it with the other, that other, what is it, TV title and just make it.
Remember last July?
Yeah.
We talked a little about blogs earlier.
Yeah.
You wrote a blog about why the X Division matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here we are. You know,
now I'm calling for it to end completely.
10 months later,
they fucked it.
Yeah,
done.
They did, and it's
They killed it, and so
and it's run its course.
Yeah,
and
it has.
And, you know, speaking of which, we were talking on Monday when Raw was on, and we were texting back and forth because also on Monday, a show that I used to watch, or you know, well, yeah, I guess used to watch is the phrase now is House.
Yeah,
and House had its series finale. And you were doing a series finale. You said I thought that show was still
I thought it was quite popular and doing quite well for them in the ratings and good quality. I thought it was a show with some cachet to it still.
It was good. It was this last season though. It was, and even to the point it was winding down.
Yeah.
And it was time, you know, it was time to end it.
Okay.
Really is what it was. Is that you know you go so long that you know really it didn't jump the shark. I don't think, but it got to the point where it didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
And then, so I got to thinking here, well, then, has Raw run its course?
Yes.
Is it time to wrap up Monday Night Raw now?
Yes.
Yeah. And when I say that, I don't want to, I'm not saying that it's the end of WWE television on Monday nights. Primetime Wrestling was on from 8 to 9 o'clock, or seven to eight, I think it was 7 to 8 o'clock on the USA Network every Monday night for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started in 1986
mm-hmm.
and it went to 1993.
WCW Saturday Night.
Well, no, but this is different though. All I'm talking about is a long tried and true time slot.
Yeah.
Primetime Wrestling merged in and became Raw.
Yep.
They just changed the format. They changed the name. They changed everything about it.
Yeah.
I just think that's what it needs. What needs to happen.
Yeah.
Is that we need to get, we need a change.
We need a change. And it's funny because they spent so much time building the brand of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they can't change that.
Because it's the weekly episodic running blah, blah, blah.
1,000 episodes.
Yeah, and they want to, exactly, 1,000 episodes coming in July here where it goes to 3 hours.
So much. My point is, Jesus, 1,000 episodes? That's enough. Yeah.
Well,
it's not. Like, when Nitro started, Nitro right away had name recognition because it had stars, good production value, was on a visible network. They were able to create that brand almost immediately. WWE as a brand will always be more powerful than Raw, even. And so this is why, I think it's a good idea. I think they need to freshen up as well. I totally agree with you, Addy. I think they need to freshen up WWE, and part of how you do that is a new show, which doesn't just mean new graphics and new opening. It means new type of graphics, new type of opening, new type of set design. And just revamping Raw isn't enough. You need that fresh thing, that thing that if you promote it on Raw for 2-3 months, when it debuts, people are excited about. When it debuts, I guarantee you, it'll draw a bigger rating than Raw is drawing right now, and probably for the first couple of weeks. And so if the show is good and it's fresh and exciting, you're going to need to sit there and worry about the fact that you've lost Raw, because this show will come out of the gate with momentum, with people curious. They'll tune in, and if it's good, they can brand something new right away.
That's right.
Like I said, I think it's a good idea because I really think that they need a fresh, and it's a way to try a fresh approach.
And you
it's a way to try a fresh a fresh type of booking, a fresh type of filming the product.
Do you have a fresh approach, everything? Do you have an approach that you would use?
Well, I would go back to a more of a sports type show personally.
Yeah.
I would go to a show that I would have a new show.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get rid of all the backstage vignettes. I'd go back to promos. I'd have less stuff happening in the ring as far as promos. I'd have more matches in the ring. I would have a NFL football type of desk where you have analysis and you have commentators who commentate between matches and build up and hype the product and make each and every – and then I'd have 3 to 4 matches per show and each match built up and promoted 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time and rotate the talent in and have a really fresh show. And, you know, you can even do that –
You know what I do?
While you have your regular sports entertainment on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. And the way what I do is that SmackDown stays as is.
Yeah.
SmackDown doesn't change. SmackDown is used to promote whatever this new show is, the new Raw, whatever it's called. And I have 3 matches on the 2-hour show.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Maybe 4 if you have 1 squash match.
I have the opening. Let's just say 20 minutes or whatever, it's all UFC countdown stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's hype stuff. Well, it's NFL countdown for me. They have Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and Jim Johnson with Greg Gumbel or whoever.
Oh, the black guy, yeah. No, what's his name?
Jim Brown?
No, not anymore.
I don't know.
I think Jim Brown actually replaced Craig Gumbel. No, there's another guy. Anyway,
the point is, I have that with videos and build the hype for the event like they build the hype for NFL
yeah.
for the first 20 minutes, like you say, or so. And I have you come back to them between matches and comment on it and build up those events and have interviews back and forth with them and have guys in the studio. I do that. I give that a fresh approach
for
wrestling.
And then you have the match. I have one match or two matches that are that day hyped, like hyped on SmackDown this is what you're going to see. And then the training videos or the hype videos for those 2 matches are there just for that event. But then I also have a 20-minute where it's hyping up a main event, like one a month.
Yeah.
Like a big one.
Once
a month.
I promote every match at least a week out. I promote some matches 2 to 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
I actually put a list. I think if you're doing this, you can bring back rankings. It's for different categories. You can – to give those matches some sort of feel of importance again. And you know what? As funny as it sounds, maybe you don't have it in the big arenas anymore either. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you definitely need a different set and a different way of filming it.
Yeah.
A fresh look there.
But it's,
and just try and reinvigorate your core fan base so that everything you've built on these TV shows matters enough that the matches on pay-per-view matter even more and people spend money on those.
Well, that's just it, right? Is that you can hype and hype and hype and sometimes you can get a fuck finish.
Yeah.
That has to go to pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you have 2 guys who've won several matches in a row, and these matches matter against good competition on TV, and when they're meeting each other at the pay-per-view and at the number one contendership, that match matters.
Yes.
It's not rocket science.
Well, no, exactly. And, I mean, and hell, you're going to have a 3-hour fucking slot to do this all, right?
Yeah, so, that's true. That's part of it. Makes things different, too.
I mean, part of it is you can do, you know, again, a pay-per-view type countdown deal. You know, remember, like, they used to have, like, the SummerSlam report.
Yeah.
You know, go to Mean Gene, go to Todd Pettengill, whoever, right, with the SummerSlam report.
Yeah.
And
SummerFest.
Yes, SummerFest.
Yeah. No, so. It's true. I mean, I think you have a better chance to get Ryback over if you're showing more than just him squashing somebody. If you're showing him training.
If you show how he got that black eye.
Yeah.
That they keyed in on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got it, but it was pretty gross looking, actually.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But
you know what? I think that's what I would do. Because I really think it's time for Raw. I don't think it's a risk to take Raw up there because you do have the brand name.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, the WWE brand name will always mean more. And yeah, fresh approach. I think your first month you got better ratings. Whether it takes off or not, and continues to have better ratings than Raw. That'll depend on the product.
Well, I was going to say, it all depends on, regardless of what you're doing, it all depends on the product, right? It's just a matter of, is this, you have to figure out what your long-term vision is going to be.
Yeah.
And stick with it.
Now,
and know that there might be some bumps in the road, but.
Now, I know we got a marathon show going here, but
yeah.
I'm going to bring up a subject that is not on either one of our lists. Just based on something, if they bring back a cruiserweight division.
Yes.
Who do you make the champion?
Brodus Clay. No.
I don't like fat people.
Oh, that's right.
I'm disgusted by that.
I'm disgusted. I'm trying to think of...
I remember when I used to be fat.
Yeah, I know. It was yesterday. And tomorrow. But... I think that there's lots of candidates.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of your cruiserweight, I mean, you've got the Rey Mysterios coming back. You've got the Sin Cara. You have, they don't even guys like Primo and Epico and the Usos. I mean, they're all smaller guys. I'm just trying to think of how big is Kofi?
Yeah, he could probably qualify, right?
I mean,
it depends on what you want to do with the division, how much importance you want to give to it.
What
That's another
do?
Thing if we're...
What
if we're,
you going to do? What you going to do? What you going to do?
But again, if we're talking about this Raw that we're talking about,
yes.
Every belt means something, and every division means something. And
right.
and nobody gets squashed as a division or made to seem less important anymore.
That's right.
And nobody... And all titles are important.
I have a dream.
And... If you're doing this, if Daniel Bryan comes over and becomes your first champion,
mm-hmm. The Daniel Bryan, yeah.
It immediately gives a little boost to that division.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, he's... And I don't like the idea of what you saw, say, in the X division of a guy like AJ Styles was a great wrestler, and then he became too good for the X division. Because then all of a sudden that division didn't mean anything anymore.
Right, yeah. Well, Joe and you know, and Daniels and AJ did. That's what they did, is they got too good for it.
They got too good for it.
And yeah, I think that with the thing with Daniel Bryan, unfortunately, is that if all things are equal with Daniel Bryan and whatnot, is that he's got the potential to be too good for the cruiserweight division.
Depends on how important you make the cruiserweight. Depends on how important you make that belt.
Because
I'll look at boxing.
Yeah, I guess.
Or UFC.
UFC is a better example. Like, both. George St. Pierre is your best example.
Yeah, well, all of them. Boxing, George St. Pierre, even a lot of these belts, they're mean as much. These mean as much. These belts mean as much or more as the heavyweight belt.
That's true.
Maybe
or
it's
more.
Maybe it's because the heavyweights aren't great, but I don't think that's it. Even in the day, the height of when the heavyweight belt still had something that meant something.
Mike Tyson.
It didn't mean the Sugar Ray Leonard didn't mean something.
Yeah, you're right.
At 150 pounds.
You're right.
So I don't...
I just listened to Paul Heyman from 1992 on a Wade Keller show make that exact point.
Yeah. Really?
When I was cutting the lawn today, honestly, he was making that exact point.
He's a smart man.
Yeah,
clever.
Clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, if you want to do that,
and
you want to take that chance, again, because you're taking a chance.
If your first feud is Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio for that belt means something.
That's right, yeah. Well, when was the last time the Cruiserweight title meant something?
Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio versus Matt Hardy?
I was going to say Matt Hardy. The main event did that SmackDown. Remember Matt Hardy?
So a huge rating, and then they never did it again.
Matt Hardy on the scale?
It was one of the most highest rated quarter hours of the year for SmackDown.
That's right.
They never did it again because the Cruiserweight belt was one of the most highest rated quarter ratings on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And they didn't see the belt being there, and they didn't want people to perceive it as being there.
Yeah.
Again, it's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly.
And this is the psychology that Vince needs
still
to
has.
Get out of,
yeah.
still has, and he needs to get out of, or more importantly, perhaps, Hunter needs to get in there in that spot and not have that psychology.
Well,
and I don't know if I trust that or not. But
the thing is in this possibility, this scenario, if you will, that we've laid out in terms of more countdown stuff on Raw and being able to take those belts and make them do it, that does give you the ability to have more face-versus-face matches,
sure.
right?
Sure.
You could have a Daniel Bryan.
It's about how good... The wrestling is going to be.
Exactly.
The in-ring performer is and how over he is. Not about his... People will choose somebody to cheer for.
Ray and Kofi could have a great... You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people will choose which guy they want to cheer for.
Yeah, that's right. So, I you know, Rey Mysterio is your rock of Gibraltar there, as you're saying. I keep saying he's
the foundation.
You know, but you've got you've got Kofi's and Daniel Bryan's, and you've got the Primo Epico's. You've got, they're not built up that way. But I mean, you've got
this is a great place
ATG.
For Tyler. This is a great place for Tyler Black to debut.
Yes,
this is where he comes in. He's 215 pounds. This is a great spot for him to come in.
Yes,
right, and face somebody and have great matches. And it's a great. So I have high hopes for this if they do this. But then again, we're seeing it how we do it.
You talk about Alex Shelley coming in. Yeah. I mean, there's guys like that. I mean, they did have some decent stuff with
a guy like Tyson Kidd could actually have a decent role now.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd. Yeah, you're right.
To match his talent.
That's true.
Which is enormous.
Mick Foley tweeted that too. He said something about Tyson Kidd has a great look and great talent. Wish he'd get the opportunity to go with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. But, yeah. So no,
maybe we'll follow him on Twitter, and when I click to follow him, you won't unfollow him.
Yeah, Mark. I still will. we've been promising it all show here. Let's get to, we talked about it last week, let's talk about the
we're going to have a monster show, and we figured we would. But what the hell, we'll keep going, I'm having fun.
Well, we've got
we're drinking beer, we're having
fun.
Beer.
We've got
one beer.
Blu-rays.
Or six beer.
Six beer. Talking about Blu-rays, we wanted to
teased this basically coming off of the Fall Count Anywhere Blu-ray and how we went
the debacle.
We're like, why are you doing that Blu-ray? There's no desire for that. We could each think of five Blu-rays that would mean more right away than that.
Yeah.
So we each did. So why don't you go with one? I'll go with one.
Okay. Well, I don't know if they've ever done this one, so I'll just throw this out because I have one, two, three. I made six because I wasn't sure about one of these if they've done it or not. I don't think they have.
Okay.
Cruiserweights.
Okay, so that's coming off my list.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
I had the best of the cruiserweights. I thought.
Well, absolutely. You start with Dynamite Kid and him holding the belt. You have some of the cruiserweights
Tiger
in Japan.
Mask, yeah.
You have the lineage and show how it's evolved and the moves have evolved.
Yeah.
You have a documentary and you have all these great matches.
Yeah.
Until modern cruiserweights to re-debut that division. It's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. That would be perfect to re-debut.
You show Owen Hart versus Great Gamma in Calgary, that type of deal, right? You have stuff like that, like it for the lightweight British Commonwealth Lightweight Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
You know,
Lethal Larry
awesome.
And Flyin' Brian.
Well, Lethal Larry was not a light heavyweight.
No,
he's 255.
Was he that big?
Yeah, he was a big dude.
He's dead.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got to the opposite end then.
Okay.
I have Best of the Big Men.
Best of the Big Men, yeah.
I talk about how I had Vader as the best
big
man. But it, hosted by Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through. I have Big Show. I have Vader. I have Andre.
Hosted by Kali.
I have Andre. Kali will not be on the
Bam,
list.
Bam,
I said
Bigelow.
Best of. Bam Bam Bigelow. Vader, as we mentioned. Andre. Kamala.
The Leapfrog.
You know,
Top Rope Splash.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have Best of the Big Men as a DVD
from
the 70s basically to the modern era.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know what I really like that is the man they call B.
Yeah?
Really, he always was like, that was his wish for years at WrestleMania, that they would just throw all the big fat guys in one battle royal
but
a monster mash type thing.
Yeah,
he
but you know what? My thing is, I classify as a big man as anybody 6'4", 280 and above. So Dave Bautista could be in this.
Okay, yeah. No, and then Sid. I mean, could.
Sid wouldn't be, but...
No,
totally
could, though. I mean, that's what I'm saying. All right, well, I'll flip over another one that I'd like to see. The best angle that WWF has ever done. The Mega Powers Explode. I'd just like to see a DVD...
They talk about epic rivalry.
That chronicles that whole situation from start to finish.
If you have a year long angle or more, that is built up and pays off, it can be this. It can be anything that goes on for a long time and pays off.
But I just think
but this is the one you break it out with.
That happens.
It's similar to that rivalries DVD, but different.
But a little bit different in that you can't unfortunately do.
You only have because you have all the matches the guys are having over the course of the year, but you only have the one encounter between them that pays off, the WrestleMania match. I love that idea. I think that's a damn fine idea for a DVD. And I think, obviously, I think it would sell really, really well. I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I would hope so. I mean, you think you could start it with the saving the with the honky tonk man and the thing. You go through the main. You go through all their angles, or and then you could do the promos, leading lust in your eyes, and all that stuff. Leading up, I think that would be perfect. So
yeah, two disc DVD essentially. That
exactly,
would be a perfect.
Yeah.
Two disc DVD.
Well, yeah, because you'd have
one a documentary on the storyline
and
one all the angles
and, then,
and angles
yeah,
and matches
exactly
from that
right?
year.
So yeah,
I like that. That's a great idea. Try not to do too many documentaries on people,
mm-hmm.
but this one's just too obvious. And this is one that they haven't done. And we can tell by the recent Ryback chance that this guy still would sell DVDs.
And Goldberg?
Goldberg Boomer Bust. Essentially, you can do it like the Bret Hart Screw DVD they were going to do, or like
the
Ultimate Warrior,
Self-Destruction yeah.
Ultimate Warrior. But be fair on it. He hasn't had a DVD since, I think, 1999, when the Who's Next DVD VHS came out.
I was going to say, in a VHS, I don't think he ever had
on WCW. On WCW. And
right.
it's actually pretty good. It's on YouTube. It's watchable. I think that this would, you chronicle his beginning, his time in WCW, and his disappearance. It would sell. I think it would be a good documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to participate, that's fine. If he doesn't, you go on like
I'm
you did
sure
with all, like all Self-Destruction. And I think it would sell. I see it at the two DVD desk.
He's got a lot of moments that you could talk
he's got
about.
A lot of moments.
I mean, you
and
talk
a few
about
matches.
Well, you talk about the Atlanta Falcons leading up. His
exactly.
you know, his growing up. But then you also talk about his, you know, animals and the charity work that he does.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, there's also the part, you know, he kicked Bret Hart in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that moment that you focus on and you talk about and
exactly.
you have people talking about it.
I think it would be a top selling DVD.
I
really
think it
would
be.
Be
good.
Yeah.
All right. My turn, I guess, huh? Well, I'm going to go with, we've had the,
what's the one that you're not sure they did?
Oh, that was the Cruiserweight one. I was.
Oh, okay,
was
yeah, yeah.
One. So, my next one, well, the school, we did,
I'll do two, because you did
okay.
six. Then.
Well, we did a list, I think best promos.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how you could do that at the DVD, too. But
I don't think you do the person. Like this list that we just went through, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
I think you do the actual promos.
Top 50 promos of all time and
yeah.
show them in the entirety?
Exactly. And then you
oh,
show,
that's
you
great.
Know what I mean? Like the,
two discs. Then. And then afterwards, you can have some of the matches that built up the promo.
Exactly. The DVD extras
great
or whatever.
Idea.
Or the, yeah, the payoffs.
That's a great idea.
My second one, I guess, if I'm going to do two in a row. Best of the Midgets.
yeah. Maybe I should have got you to do it. Actually, since we watched right before this, we watched, what was it?
Bloopers, bleeps, and
we watched some of that. Yeah, Dan Carpenter versus the Haiti Kid.
Oh, fuck, was that
And it was
awesome.
So good. And we're laughing, and it's hilarious, and their work is so crisp.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny. And,
they're
even
juiced
the,
up.
And even the midgets in the 80s were on steroids.
Oh, fuck.
But tell you the truth, yeah, I have no problem with it. I don't think it'd sell very well. I don't think there's a huge thing for it, but Hornswoggle would host.
Hornswoggle
not on steroids.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to go with one on Samoan lineage in wrestling.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you have the wild Samoans. You go through to the Samoan SWAT team, Rikishi, Yokozuna.
The Rock.
Yamaga, The Rock, Superfly. That Samoan lineage in wrestling, I think you could do a great documentary and then have a bunch of promos and matches.
Yeah, they did do one on the families. Remember, they did
they
touched a little bit of each, but you're right. They could do an expansion of
expansion
that because part of the families was the hearts, and then they did a whole heart DVD,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's the Usos would host. Right?
Usos would host,
and,
yeah,
and they did a great job in the Hall of Fame. So.
And they did, and you know what? And then the final match is the Usos, their best match, whatever that is,
winning the tag titles.
Yeah,
ever
something
do
like
that.
Yeah. It's kind of like the final match.
I mean,
of the Hart one was the hosted by Harry Smith, Natalya, and
Kid. Yeah,
and Kid.
That's right.
The final match was them against Hart and Smith and
DX.
Yeah, against DX.
Yeah,
Kid. Yeah.
Da. Well, let's talk about Hart and then my next one, Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah, you know what? I was wondering about that, too, because they did do the Hart family one, but Stampede Wrestling is a different thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it has the Harts in there, but you can talk about Abdullah the Butcher there.
Bad News Brown.
Archie the Stomper Goldie. The greatest Canadian wrestler of all time.
Yes, exactly. you can talk about, you know, all sorts. I mean, the guys that,
Jake
you know,
Roberts.
Sylvester Ritter.
JYD, yeah.
You know, all these guys that got the Dynamite Kid.
And the rises and fall that this territory had in popularity that was so interesting.
You know, talk about...
It made a great book.
Talk about Ed Whalen. Oh, I mean, Heath McCoy wrote
that's a fantastic book.
Passion, Pain and Passion?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. You know what? I think this would be a great DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree with you.
All right.
I'd agree with you. Talk about Bruce Hart of the Booker.
Yes, yes. Well,
are you done?
Well, I have one more, but
okay,
I did
too.
Mine, so it's yours.
Yeah, yeah. Epic Matches. DVD where every match is 30 minutes or more. Every match gets a mini documentary showing the build up to that match.
The irresistible
the promos,
force, meaning the immovable
exactly,
object.
A mini documentary in every single match, kind of like what they did in that first Ric Flair documentary.
Right, yes.
Disc that they did. A mini documentary in each match, and then the match, every match, at least 30 minutes or more.
A lot
epic
of those
matches.
A lot of
great Matt Russell and that type of thing.
A lot
classic
of those
matches.
DVDs. At the time, around that Ric Flair time, I remember the Shawn Michaels, the first Shawn Michaels one. They were all like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they had that format.
And I would kind of go back to that format for this. And
yeah.
Your final one.
The Best of England.
Oh, I like it.
You could talk about, the Dynamite Kids, the British Bulldogs, the Stephen Regal would host. You could do,
Stephen
you know,
Regal would host, yeah.
Billy Robinson, you know, James Blair. I mean, you could talk about Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Big Daddy.
Yep.
You know, all that. The history of wrestling in England. Maybe even if you want to do the UK.
Yeah.
And include, you know, Finlay and Sheamus and guys like that. But
yeah.
I think that'd be a good seller.
I think so, too. I think that'd be a good seller. I think it'd be a good DVD. I think it'd be interesting. I think people would buy it. Tell you the truth, like I say, I think every single one of these DVD ideas, better than what we're seeing from Fall Count Anywhere might be a pretty good DVD, but people just aren't screaming for it. I think these would have people's more interest from people. And you know what? We give you our permission. Steal our ideas. Put a good DVD together, and we'll purchase it.
That's right. That's right. TNA has a new DVD coming out. Dixie Carter hosts. It's Falls Count Anywhere.
Very good. Very good. DVD, I understand she told AJ Styles to wrap it up when they went in that hotel room together because she heard that the AIDS is contagious.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
But, that's AIDS Day Styles. That's what she thought the A stood for.
That's right.
But did you finish all yours?
Did you hear they're going to introduce a new belt there?
No.
The Intercontinental belt?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Brooke Hogan's probably involved in that.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah. She's going to do big things there.
Yeah.
Two big things.
Well, you know what? That continuity is so important.
It's so important if you want to go all the way.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I got some email questions.
I was going to say, you had the email
Two emails I got here. So we'll get to this. The first one is from, and these kind of play in together, so good. Find a way to work them in together here.
Hmm.
Sort of. Little Jimmy, Little Slimmy Jimmy.
Okay.
Little Slimmy Jimmy. So we're going to snap into this question.
Okay, I need a little excitement.
All right, let's snap into this question. Little Slimmy Jimmy asks if John Cena doesn't rap in front of Stephanie and he's about to and got fired as the rumor was at the time.
Right.
Who becomes the face of the WWE? So basically, John Cena gets fired. Who is it that becomes the face of the WWE instead of John Cena, who has obviously been the face of the WWE for the last 7 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because he was very close to being fired before he accidentally rapped in front of her and she saw and gave him that gimmick. So what would have happened, basically? Who would have become the face of the WWE?
Well, and that's a tough – that is tough because you got to go back to
that era.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like 9 years ago. We just had WrestleMania 28, did we not? Yes. John Cena was rapping, but not on WrestleMania 19.
Yeah.
You know, he made his WrestleMania debut at WrestleMania 20.
That's
so
right.
He was rapping.
The big show for the US belt.
So he rapped the, basically, the Halloween of 2002.
I think he became the face of the 2005 is where he became the face of the company. When
But when you say he doesn't
rap. 2004.
But when you say he doesn't rap to Stephanie, okay. He does that in 2002,
that's
10
true.
Years ago, okay?
That's true.
So, and he becomes the face, you're right, in 2005, let's say,
basically.
Okay? But he has to, he takes 3 years to get there.
Yeah.
From that rap skate. So you have to go back now, then, and think what was available to start to build in 2002.
basically, yeah, who would have been his opponent for The Rock? Even by 2008, who would have been established? And there was no question was the...
But you have to say, if he doesn't do that, that's what I'm saying, though, is that it takes some time. So you don't go to 2005 and say, who's a really big star in 2005?
Yeah.
You have to go back to 2002, yeah, exactly. 2003 and say, who's building it up? So, I mean, and a lot of them are dead. I mean, the Eddies are dead and the Benoits are dead. And so...
And I still assume, say, Kurt Angle wouldn't be there. So that makes a
difference,
too. And a Brock
Lesnar.
Wouldn't
right?
be there. So that makes a difference, too.
If you're saying all those things happen like they happened...
Yeah.
You know, who comes in, steps up, and takes... if they did it... I mean, and again, if you could take someone that had a lot of potential, that actually, quite frankly, showed potential and has been a star and was around at that point,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know... This isn't my around 2002 final answer, but I'm going to say a guy that has a very strong possibility is what's a Mark Jindrak? When you talk about what he's done in Japan, what's his name that he goes by now?
I thought he was in Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico.
Don Corleone or something.
Yeah,
Marco Corleone.
Marco Corleone.
Yeah,
he's a very big star there.
Yeah, he is.
And he's made a lot of money.
Apparently, he's done pretty well.
He's done very
well.
So he's a person that was there that, again...
I still don't think he would have gotten over to get that opportunity. That's
well, I don't know, but John Cena that wears a different color tights to match the home team's team wouldn't either. And that's the point, is that if he didn't rap, who gets to break out? I'm just saying, like, what kind of raw potential did we have to move
there? The first guy I look at, mm-hmm. the guys I look at, there's two guys who stick out for me. I mean... Rob Van Dam might have gotten a bigger shot, but I still doubt it.
Yeah.
The guys I go with are Batista, who still probably would have left a couple years ago.
But he still
and he still was almost the face of the company.
Yes,
though.
You're right.
So I kind of go with him, and maybe then as the actual face of the company, maybe they could have gotten him to stick around.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Face the Rock.
Oh yeah.
And the other guy is another guy who just retired, and that's Edge. I think Edge probably, if you're looking at WrestleMania 19, he's out with that injury, for the neck injury. But I think Edge is the guy who might have become the face of the WWE.
Edge doesn't know. It sounds like I'm bashing Edge this whole show. I love Edge, and I think Edge is tremendous. Edge doesn't fuck Lita, and Edge does not become the giant star that he is.
He still fucks Lita.
Yeah, well, of course, we all do. No, but
yeah.
The thing is,
slurp, slurp, slurp.
But that again, we took something that was real and we honed it, and he became a big star.
Yeah.
So that was.
I still think he would have become a big star. So
he
yeah, exactly.
So
the guys I look at are Batista and now the reason I don't look at Randy Orton, like I say, and I think RVD is the X factor.
What about Christian?
I still don't think. He would have been able to break through Vince's perception of what a star looks like. And like I say, I don't look at Randy Orton because to become the face of the company, you would have needed to be a baby face, and I don't think he could have been an effective one.
Well, he wasn't back then.
No, and even in 2008, I don't think he could have been. It was only last couple – even now, he's only sort of an effective one.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been Hunter, right?
You don't say.
No, it wouldn't have been. So those are the two guys I look at, like I said. I think the X Factor, and CM Punk would have come around, what, 2008, 2007?
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy, maybe they don't fuck him up. He actually gets pushed to the moon.
Yeah,
ahead of
he
Cena.
Fucked himself up.
But the thing is, when was it he was having that great run? Was it 2009?
He had a couple. He had that one with Randy Orton.
The last one.
Oh, the last one, yeah, was 2009.
2009. By then, yeah, he definitely, if John Cena's not there, he's definitely the face of the company. He still is an idiot, though.
That's the problem. So you're just sort of saying, who do
I go with Batista or Edge?
As I said, my outside shot there is Jindrak.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're talking about who do you try to push at that point to bring to that next level.
But I didn't look at Jindrak, and I know he's stuck around and done well, but I look at, okay, he went to Mexico, he did well. Albert went to Japan and did well.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him now. Like, I mean, I looked at Jindrak, and I also looked at Sean O'Hare and thought Sean O'Hare had way more potential, personally.
That's true. No, you're right.
So, Yeah.
And you know, and again, and maybe
it's really tough, though. I mean,
and maybe he would have. I mean, you know, you know, you don't know. Again, it all just
he was also an idiot, but I mean, yeah, I
well,
mean,
yeah.
You know,
it just depends on who they decide to. I mean, again, this is the same company that
maybe Chris Jericho gets much more of a shot. Who knows?
And again,
Jericho never really got that shot to be the face of the company. I mean, Kurt Angle probably would have gotten a shot and still fucked up. So Chris Jericho, who knows? I mean, again.
You couldn't have done Kurt Angle then. No, because Kurt Angle had already been established and around and done.
So another question is, he could have still been the face of the company, though.
No,
2005,
I don't think he could.
2006?
He could have. No, he could.
You think so?
No,
maybe.
I don't think so. Not in the way that... What they were looking for is their new star.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle would not have been a new star.
Batista would have been. Scary answer is like a great Khali.
Yeah, no, we know that wouldn't have been the case. I mean, but I was looking at a new star, which is why I was looking at, like, John Cena again, just on the thing, and
based on that, though, the question that Slimmy Jimmy asked, would John Cena have stayed a wrestler if he had been fired? And based on that, if he had stayed a wrestler, would he have ended up back in WWE?
That's tough because in that time period, the early 2000s, the wrestling scene really died out.
Yeah.
From, you know, ECW being
gone. We talk about Jindrak. What's his name? I can't remember now. The dude with the poodle.
Oh, Dupree.
Rene Dupree.
He's another guy that,
another guy, yeah. We talk about Rene Dupree. We talk about some of these guys. They found a way to continue working.
Yeah.
So I think John Cena would have stayed a wrestler. I do think at that point he had enough of a spark in him that he would have tried to get back to the WWE. And I think he would have made it back to the WWE like Charlie Haas did. Charlie Haas let go about that time.
Yeah, you're right.
I still think John Cena would have been let go then. I still think he would have come back. I still think he would have been a star. Not as big a star as he is now, but I still think he would have come back and become a star. I do believe that.
The thing is,
the cream tends to rise to the top, and say what you will about him, he has charisma. He has charisma.
Yeah, he does have charisma. But most of... we look at saying... We'll go back, and I hate to keep doing it, but I guess it's a shameless self-promotion. But we'll go back to your blog. I mean, not to give away the ending here, folks, but he's not as good of a worker as Hogan, okay? And we've just been going on and talking about how he's not a top 25 promo. So he has charisma. That's wonderful. So do I. I can't be a wrestler, okay? And John Cena, everything that he's been, quote-unquote, given... He's
you have
nice
charisma?
I do.
And you watch that DDP video?
I'm a wonderful person. But Ralphus told me. But the thing is, John Cena, 98% of what he's been given, okay, is just that. He's been given. He's been manufactured.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about he doesn't do this rap and Stephanie doesn't see him as Hogan, as
the
guy.
That's the least manufactured guy that got over originally.
In some
ways, that guy, I think, was more over than the guy we got now.
Oh, in a lot of ways, in terms of get people getting behind them to see, right? But I just, the Cena that's become is
but
just,
you know,
again,
what?
Very
most of these guys, when they go, if they go away and come back, and if he had stayed with it, and it all comes back whether he stayed with it, and like I said, I think he would have.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, when they come back, usually come back, and for the first 4 to 6 weeks, get a pretty good spot. Get a chance again to see if the crowd's into him. Most of them do.
Yeah, but again,
like Lord Tensai.
You're talking about.
I think at that point, maybe I think he would have learned enough and got it enough. I still think he would have.
Slimmy Jimmy here. His whole concept and the whole question is based on the fact that he doesn't rap in front of Stephanie, right? He doesn't do that character. Stephanie doesn't say, "Be fucking Vanilla Ice on the SmackDown Halloween show." Do that. Keep that gimmick. Let's go with it. Okay. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So if he goes
do
away,
that now.
If he goes, no, I know.
He's not even doing that in 2006.
I know, but if he goes away, okay, never doing that and gets released,
yeah,
as was the rumor, and he goes away, and he does, let's say, he goes to New Japan, or
yeah.
NOAH, or, you know, there really isn't a TNA or a Ring of Honor at that point.
Yeah, there is.
Barely.
Yeah, there is.
What?
2004 they started. Well, 2002, you're right. We're looking 2002, you're right.
Okay. So, I mean, barely. But 2004, did they start in 2004? I thought they were 10 years old.
2004.
Oh.
Or 2000, maybe it is 2002.
I thought barely is what I was saying,
yeah.
That they just started.
Yeah.
And so...
You're right, they just had their 10th anniversary last year.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there you go. So, well, WCW ended in 2001.
Yeah.
So that's basically what
yeah,
I was going with, right? So,
so yeah, he does have a place to go.
Barely.
Which actually brings up to the
barely,
next question.
But all I'm saying...
I'm just going to throw this out there. This is the next question and fits in.
Okay.
The Bannable asked, what if John Cena had ended up in TNA? And we'll just say, so if he gets fired, he ends up... I think he's saying, what if he had never gone to WWE?
Okay.
But either way, just say, that is a question. What happens to John Cena and TNA?
But John Cena... Okay, now, does John Cena come out and say... I'm going to be the Thuganomic rapper.
I don't think he has to be. I think if he's gone for a couple of years, works on his craft, understands how to play to the crowd more and how to do promos more and gets more natural, that when he comes back, he's the same character essentially he is now and he still gets over.
No. No. Doesn't happen.
See,
He rises to the top. If he goes to TNA,
what happens if he goes to TNA? In my opinion... If he goes to TNA, it does not make TNA a bigger company, because I think that's what Danable's asking.
Okay.
This doesn't make TNA a bigger company if they had gotten John Cena? No.
No.
I think if he goes to TNA, what happens? He stays
in TNA. Well,
it does,
because it makes him a bigger company, because they have one more wrestler.
But I don't think he would have made the difference there, because he wouldn't have the exposure to make enough of a difference, to maximize his talent. They've had a lot of guys with talent who don't mean much. I think though, if he
almost
goes to TNA,
exclusively.
Yeah, I think if he goes to TNA, probably around 2004, 2005, or whatever, he gets released. He's like Marcus Carvon, Monty Brown, ends up in TNA and WWE, and I still think he becomes a WWE star. Not the level he is now, but I still think I don't think any of this is saying he would ever be at the level he is now, but I think he still would have become a star, even if he had been in TNA or if he had been fired, I still think he would have ended up there.
It's possible. It's possible that
I think he would have been in... It's kind of like CM Punk was in TNA first, but it didn't matter. He still ended up in WWE, and that's where he became a star.
Yeah, but... Again, I don't think that... I mean, he's a bodybuilder that became a wrestler.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so... I don't know that he...
I think they definitely would have taken him.
Oh, they would have.
Yeah.
I mean, again, but... Here's some of the other things that you... really need to look at, and I'll be the cynic here,
okay
is that Eddie dies.
Yep.
Okay. Benoit offs himself and his family. Okay.
Yep.
If at that point do they even look at a guy like John Cena coming back amongst that controversy, someone that looks like how Cena looks. And
yes.
Okay, but and when guys are starting to get...
Because you know the wellness policy was in place, but a joke when Eddie died.
Yeah, no, it was in place because Eddie died. It was a joke when Benoit died.
That's what I'm saying. It was a joke still by the time Benoit was there. It was in place, though.
You said Eddie.
Yeah, but yeah, well, Eddie dies.
They created it.
Benoit. But it didn't mean anything still. It was still
a
joke.
You're right. But the other part of it, though, is that Cena not being Mr. Tippy Top guy, right? If he fails a test, do we hear about it? Versus now, and I'm just being the conspiracy.
Depends on how over he's getting.
Yeah.
Look at Randy Orton.
I don't think with the man.
We know Randy Orton's failed a test for something in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really hear about it.
I just think with the I think Cena being manufactured, and if Cena isn't. Quote unquote.
Here's
a
name
the
that we're
guy.
Forgetting, though, that when we're talking about guys who are face of the company, this is strange. Lashley.
Oh, Lashley, yes.
But Lashley's another example, though. I think he ends up. Like, I still think Cena ends up there and is a star. But
he's a star, but he's not.
He's not what he is now. He's now what Randy Orton is now, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't. I'm trying to think of, to equate him to. I guess a Randy Orton, maybe just underneath. Yeah, I guess. Especially now when they're so short on guys to plug in, right? I mean,
that's the thing.
You just do it. So.
All right. Well, it's interesting to discuss anyway. So if you have your opinions, Mo@WeTalkPodcast, hit me up on Twitter, Mo_WeTalk.
Yes, that's true. @Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.com or @WTW or @, I guess. @WeTalkWrestling. So, of course, WeTalkWrestling.com. We've been talking about how we put up some blogs, you may have heard, throughout the last 2.5 hours we do that. And the shows are also there, any of the past episodes, so you can hit us up and do that.
And a shout-out and thanks to our guest this week, the wonderful Senator of Connecticut,
yes,
Linda McMahon.
Vote
thank
Quimby.
You. O-U-T.
Yeah, vote Quimby. Yeah, no, that's great. Just to wrap up one last note. Raw sucked.
I didn't think it was so bad.
You didn't, but...
Basically, there was no segment which I really, really hated.
What happened on it? I don't even
remember. Nothing really happened,
but
there's no segment. I thought the wrestling was fine. The angles were okay. It was okay. I didn't think anything was terrible. I just didn't think anything was awesome.
I just remembered that it's because we have our May Long weekend here in Canada, the last weekend. So it's Memorial Day weekend down in the United States of America.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a pretty shitty show.
Yeah, that's
true. We're going to get a holiday Monday show. I didn't even think of that. So
they need their Great American Bash.
Yes.
Memorial Day long weekend.
That's right. That's right. They used to do a Saturday night's main event. That's actually where the Brain Busters beat Demolition for the tag team titles was on that. So,
Addie, master of obscure opinion or obscure facts.
There you go.
Like we said, we're OET. Let's go.
All right.
Fucking hour.
All right. Well, then in the meantime, and also in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.